WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
Welcome back, NHRA fans, to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. And here it is. This is it. The beginning of the quote-unquote so-called off-season, where everybody is working twice as hard and twice as long to get ready for 2015, including us here at WFO Radio. But it is a holiday week. We've got Thanksgiving. We have got a long weekend. And I'm sure some of that will be enjoying family time and a little turkey and a little steak and lobster, as we always do on WFO Radio. But if you're an NHRA fan, we've got a great show for you. And if you're listening on Thanksgiving or beyond, or right live when it comes on at Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, we have got a great show for you. We got some champs on the show, Mellow Yellow champs, Erica Enders Stevens on the show. Full debrief of the entire season, big moments, the championship, living up to the moment. Trip Zero Light wins, final round wins, becomes a championship. Behind-the-scenes stories, Erica Enders-Stevens, coming up real soon on WFO Radio. Andrew Hines, another champ. Talk about Harley-Davidson, Vance and Hines, what it was like going through the countdown and winning his fourth NHRA Mellow Yellow World Championship. Andrew Hines going to be on the show. But it's not all about champions. We got some stories to uncover, and president of John Force Racing, Robert Height, is going to be on the show to talk a little bit about the 2014 season for John Force Racing, to grade themselves, to debrief what happened, but also talk a little bit about the future of John Force Racing. They started the season trying to replace two major sponsors and their manufacturer. How's it all going? Where are they positioned for the long term? We're going to ask Robert Height some very tough questions coming up on this show. And this past week, one of the greats in the PR world, Denny Darnell, passed away. We're going to talk about it with Rob Goodman. Rob, one of the great PR reps out there in the world of NHRA drag racing for many years, worked directly with Mr. Denny Darnell for many years, who was very helpful to me early in my career. And we're going to debrief on a great career in the world of PR and motorsports with Rob Goodman. But first, they start them all off the same way. The voice of the NHRA, he is back. Alan Reinhart joins us now. Alan, welcome back.
Hey, Joe, great to be back. It wouldn't be Tuesday if I didn't get to talk to you.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Now, you were off at the Blaine Johnson Memorial Golf Tournament last week.
Is that where it was? I don't remember. It's been, the last month has been just berserk between Vegas and Vegas and Pomona and SEMA and the banquet. And I did go to the golf tournament now that you mention it. I had three holes in one, if I remember correctly.
You're still not as good as Kim Jong-il.
No.
He had 18 in a row.
Yeah, I got, you know, one of them I timed the windmill just right, one of them right in a clown's mouth. It was a pretty special day, actually.
That is great, great stuff. But a great tournament. I hear very positive things, and I hear extra assistance going to the engineering school that is the benefactor.
Yeah, the Allen Hancock College has one of the premier automotive machine schools in the country, and it's based there in Santa Maria. The Johnson family, which is also based in Santa Maria, the Alan Johnson Performance is up there. After Blaine's death in 96, they wanted to do something in his memory, something to remember him by, and they got involved with the college. And over the years, they've donated, I think the total's over $300,000, but the college is a big beneficiary of it, and it's a huge part of their automotive machinist class that has literally new, state-of-the-art, unbelievable equipment. And if you want to learn to be an automotive machinist, you might look into Allen Hancock College. They've been big supporters of the tournament, and, of course, the racing community has also gotten behind it in a big way. But it's a fun day of golf at Santa Maria Country Club, which is a very nice place to play. It's dinner. It's a charity auction with some pretty cool racing memorabilia and some other one-off stuff that is specifically made for the tournament. Just a nice, relaxing couple of days to kind of unwind and ease into the mythical off-season that we all keep hearing about that doesn't really exist.
That doesn't really exist. Now, I referenced the bad news of the passing of Denny Darnell. We've invited Rob Goodman to come on the show to talk about it, but I understand you also worked with Mr. Darnell in your role at the NHRA.
When I first started working with the NHRA, Denny was there. He was the head of the media department, basically. He also spent some time working with R.J. Reynolds while I was getting my feet wet with NHRA, and he was just a really interesting and amazing guy. He was, you know, the classic never met a stranger. You know, to the last time I saw him, which I believe was Bristol in 13, you know, he came out to the races for a day, and like he always did from basically this day we met, big slap on the back, and he said, "Hey, Rhinestone, how you doing? How's things going? Da, da, da. And is there anything I can do for you?" Which was just, you know, his standard deal. What can I do to help? I thought it was very interesting listening to Dave Moody on Sirius Satellite Radio yesterday talking about him, and he said, had a very interesting comment. He said, in this day and age, when personal PR representatives seem to pride themselves on how many times they can tell somebody no, Denny next to never said no. His standard comment was, "I'm not sure if I can make that happen, but let me see what I can do," and would go out of his way to try to accommodate everybody he could in some way. You know, his last official assignment before he retired was PR director for Dodge over on the NASCAR side. So working with Brad Keselowski in the Nationwide Series and in the Cup Series, and you know, if you needed something from Brad and you went to Denny, he would find a way to make it happen. And the number of people that he helped over the years, the number of people that are better at their job because Denny gave him some advice or offered some guidance is astronomical. He was just a larger than life kind of figure, and it was really a shock to hear that that we'd lost him on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. 70 years old, and just shocking and upsetting. My situation is a little. I feel I never knew him personally, but I had interacted with him on the phone many times at the start of my motorsports broadcast career in the late 90s. I was starting off at my local station in Miami and going through NASCAR PR books for PR contacts and calling them all and just trying to introduce myself, trying to make a connection that will ultimately result in getting some drivers on the show to grow the sport of NASCAR in Miami is what I was doing. And lots of not returned calls, lots of no answers, lots of, you know, some help. But this guy, Denny Darnell, was extremely helpful and attentive and pointed me in the right direction. But at that time, I was so new, not traveling, just doing it in a localized area. Obviously, 15 years has gone by since then, so the world has changed. There was no iPhone, nothing like that. And he helped me a lot. Then I see this news of how he passes away and this outpouring of, you know, for the general, this guy that everybody loved. And it turns out my story was not unique. This guy was helping everybody. It was just his personality. And I felt a little, like, bad. Like, wow, I missed out on having face-to-face interaction with him. I missed out on what everybody is saying, but he did help me nonetheless. And I just did not know that this was his thing. And that's a very sad thing.
Well, he was absolutely the perfect guy for that industry. You know, trying to generate PR, trying to generate interest, whether it was for NHRA at the time or for R.J. Reynolds when he was with them or, you know, more specifically lately for the Dodge guys in NASCAR. He was just a very outgoing reach out and you know, contact somebody. He wasn't the kind of guy that would respond to everything with an email or a text message. If you were at the racetrack, he would seek you out. you know, shake your hand, say hi, have a face-to-face discussion with you, and that's, you know, kind of a lost art these days, but he was definitely a master at it, and it just, you know, it's a shame. I'm going to miss, you know, going to Bristol this year and knowing that I'm not going to get a chance to spend 5 minutes just kind of chatting with him is a pretty depressing thought, but he was a wonderful guy. I'm glad that I did get to know him a little bit. I'm glad that I did get to spend some time with him, and I definitely count him as one of my friends that I've made in this business over the years.
And I think a great lesson for everybody is appreciate your time with people that you like and respect while you have it, because you never know when it's going to end.
Absolutely right.
And on with the show, of course. I'm sure Mr. Darnell would want us to enjoy our conversation about the world of racing, even on this sad week. I see that NHRA TV ratings were up in 2014. That's a first, like breaking a negative trend on Michael Knight's column on Competition Plus. That's great news.
I'll take it. I think, you know, exciting championship battles coming down to the wire certainly helped. Erica Enders Stevens and all her success certainly helped. You know, the Tony Schumacher's run at the end, of course, his popularity certainly helped. There was, you know, there's a lot of good news out there. You know, NHRA has been on an uptick as far as attendance the last couple of years or 3 years as well. You know, we're not double-digit growth. We're not, wow, we're going to have to expand all of our stadiums. We're not, but in an era when you see more and more in all sports, you know, empty grandstands and seats being covered up and things happening, the fact that we're trending in the right direction, you know, hey, I'd rather go 1% the right way than 1% the wrong way. And if we're going the right direction, you know, even baby steps forward are steps forward. I'll take everything we can get. Hopefully we can build on some of that momentum and leverage it into 2015 and beyond.
Absolutely. We have got one of what I would call one of the major factors in potential growth for NHRA drag racing coming up in a few minutes. Erica Enders Stevens going to talk about accomplishing this championship, that at the start of the year they basically formed this team to go try to win the championship, and they did it in such dramatic way. And it's going to be very interesting to see how her personality and star power, or at least potential star power, is harnessed to try to grow the sport.
Well, there's a whole generation of young women that grew up watching Erica in her Disney movie, Race Junior Dragsters. And the fact that, you know, that little girl now has grown up to become a professional world champion is big. And hopefully, you know, maybe some of the young girls that saw that movie, or some of the young people, I should say, because it certainly wasn't just girls that were watching the movie, but maybe some of the young people that watched that movie will now, you know, get a renewed interest in drag racing. Maybe they'll stop by. Maybe they'll come to an event. Maybe they'll, you know, get their feet wet. And as I've said how many times since we started this, come to the racetrack one time and we'll hook you. So there's certainly a lot of upside to that, you know, a lot of potential good. You know, Eric is just such a well-spoken, outgoing, attractive female driver that wins, not just competes, not just shows up, not just, you know, hey, qualifies once well every now and then, but wins, and is now going to go on tour as the reigning champion of the Mellow Yellow Series. I think that's awesome.
I do, too, and I think that's where we're really going to see it. As much as I would have liked an outpouring of media for her this week and next week, I think as she goes to cities as the champion, that's going to be big. And I also think it's interesting when you look at the photographs of the female champions. You've got Shirley, Top Fuel. You've got Angèle in Pro Stock Motorcycle. You've got Erica in Pro Stock, and it's only logical to think that the next and final championship barrier in Funny Car may drop very soon with an Alexis or a Courtney Force.
How big a deal would it be if we get then, you know, coming down to the last couple of races next year, and Alexis and Courtney are both in the battle? Well, not necessarily the only two, but both in the battle. You know, and like this year, John Force being in the championship battle again certainly is something that helps drive ratings and drive attendance. You know, both ladies certainly have shown that they have the ability. Both teams have shown that they're capable of winning races and competing for it. You know, how soon it'll happen, who knows, but there has never been stronger potential to have a champion in Funny Car than there is right now. Just like, you know, until Erica, there never was really any potential to have a champion, a female champion in Pro Stock. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to belittle the efforts of some of the females that came before, you know, the Lucinda McFarlands of the world. But none of them was ever in championship equipment. None of them was ever in position to go out and win races and really contend. The fact that, you know, Erica is and did and accomplished a goal is a pretty special feat. And we've got, as you said, two females in Funny Car right now that certainly have the equipment, have the team, and have more than enough desire and skill and ability to make it happen. So, you know, if it all comes together, it'll be fun to watch.
I think the championships can sometimes be defined by who you beat for the championship, and I don't think, I know Jason is obviously disappointed to be the person that Erica had to go through to get the championship, but at the end of the day, that, I think, elevates the championship because her competition is so good, so well-respected, and so intense in his own career.
Well, and the fact that it wasn't just a two-horse race. I mean, yes, it did come down to Erica and Jason at the end, but the Dodges were strong all year. The Team Gray was strong with their three cars out there. You know, when you look at how many different winners there were and how many cars were out there that were capable of winning, I think that that makes it more special. And then you also look at the fact that Erica and Jason went head-to-head the last two races of the season. Erica won both of those, and that's what salted away her championship run. You know, you can. I said in Pomona, I said, somebody should make a movie about this. And then I said, nobody would ever believe it. I mean, the twin trip zip lights in the semifinals, and then the last two cars of the Pro Stock season, one trip down the racetrack, winner gets to be the world champion. Come and get it if you really want it. Who would believe that? Except that it really happened, and you know, Erica was the picture of grace under pressure and poise when I think a number of people were expecting her to crack or expecting her to fail, and she delivered like a champion should.
Well, as you mentioned about the movie, it's very funny because I've been joking with Erica over the past couple of years about the sequel to Right on Track. You know, Right on Track 2 is now totally written. We just got to get Bob Iger and the people at Disney to put some of that Star Wars stuff they're working on aside, or at least carve out some time, because we have the best story ever, and it is also true.
I'd be all for it if somebody decided they wanted to do that. I am here to say I would be happy to pitch in and help in any way, shape, or form I can. Let's get after it. You go ahead and sell it, and I'll just sit here and wait for the phone to ring.
I'm going to write Mickey Mouse a letter. I'm going to see if we can. He's in charge. Everybody knows that Mickey is actually back there making all the big decisions.
Is the mouse still running that joint? I wouldn't wear that.
He is definitely running the place. Iger is all just right. A puppet. So we've got Andrew Hines on the show. You and Andrew are going to be on the road for many, many days coming up soon.
Yeah, headed out this Saturday over to the Mideast on the Summit Racing's Armed Forces Appreciation Tour that they've done for a number of years. Andrew is a veteran at this. It's my first time. I'm really looking forward to it. From everything that I've heard, you know, being fortunate that four of the five players that are in this thing are NHRA players, of course, Greg Anderson, Jason Lyon, and Eddie and Andrew, the two Harley guys, I've had an opportunity to chat with all four of them at length about what to expect and what's going to happen and what's going on, and I'm really, really excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of an unusual circumstance for me, because packing to go on a trip is a standard normal deal that I do how many times a year, but this is a unique circumstance, you know, traveling overseas and going places I've never been before and not really 100% sure. If I'm going to the races, I know what I need to go to the races. I know exactly what needs to go in the suitcase. I know exactly how to make it happen, but for this one I've been calling and emailing and looking for guidance because I might be wrong, but I don't believe there's a Kohl's in Djibouti, so if I forget something, I don't think I'm going to be able to just run down to the corner store and pick it up. I got to make sure I've got everything with me.
I can't wait to debrief on that, because I'm going to have a million questions about that kind of stuff, because that is very interesting. And, of course, you're going for the right reasons. But what are we going to do with the Reinhardt segment? We're going to miss out on you for what, for 2 weeks?
Well, at least for one. I think I'll be back. I'll be back the following, what is it, the 9th? I called looking for what it's going to take to get service over there, and with my cell carrier, they can cover me in Bahrain, but not in Djibouti, and not in, where else are we going? Ethiopia. So I'm going to be at least a few days, apparently just completely out of touch, with the exception of I'm assuming that I'll have internet access somewhere, somehow, on the military base, but I'm just learning this as I go.
Download.
Like one guy I talked to yesterday that said, have you got an adapter for your plug-in devices? And I said, no. He said, well, you know, not all parts of the world have the standard plug. Your computer, your anything you've got electric isn't going to plug in when you get to Bahrain. I thought, there's something I hadn't thought of. So, another trip to the Radio Shack, I guess, see if they've got whatever I need.
Yeah, there you go. Definitely going to be very interesting to see it all play out. I would recommend trying to download Skype on your phone, and if you have internet access, it should work. You should be able to call out on Skype. You could have put a couple bucks on your Skype account. They charge you like, 20 cents a minute or something for international stuff. That's how we do some of our international interviews here. And either I call the person or they call back, but that might be worth investigating just to see if it works.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to kind of feel my way through it. So, I'm pretty sure that I'll have email access, and other than that, whatever it is, I'll figure it out. And should I get invited back at some point in the future, then I'll be better equipped next time. But I figure if nothing else, I'll just I'll just tell Andrew, hey, can I borrow your phone real quick?
There you go.
And just burn it up on his deal, because I was told that there will be places where the phone will work at, whatever it is, $12 a minute or something. So I'll just borrow Andrew, or I'll borrow Jason's phone.
Those guys did well for themselves this year. They can definitely afford it. Now, Robert Height can be on the show, president of John Force Racing. A lot to address, thinking about everything that they are going through. They come up short in terms of the championship, but if I'm grading their season, very, very successful. I would give out a very high letter grade, even though they came up close. When it came down to the championship, I guess the double event and the red light against Hagen in the final round of Charlotte at Dallas was a tremendous moment. The countdown giving us the opportunity to focus on things like that. But at the end of it all, now they're worried about 2015. There's a lot going on over there and still waiting for that big manufacturer announcement. Obviously, I'm going to ask him, but I also know he's not going to be able to tell me.
Well, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but I heard it might be Audi.
Oh, I did you one better. I said I said Rolls Royce.
Oh, there you go.
If you can go big, go. If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. The Rolls Royce funny car.
Does Rolls Royce have a sedan that would make a funny car? I guess you'd make one out of anything. Yeah, I'm guessing that Robert isn't thinking too much about, wow, we finally made it to the off season. In his role over there as president of JFR, they are going flat out, whether it's getting stuff painted, whether it's getting transporters wrapped, whether it's still putting deals together because they don't have everything in place as of yet. I don't believe that he's thinking about this as the off season, and it'll be interesting as the clock continues to tick. Pomona now is what, 75 days away or 74 days away, and if you don't yet have a manufacturer, hypothetically speaking, and I have no more information than you do, but hypothetically speaking, if they're going with Audi, in 74 days, they've got to get the deal done. They've got to get something put together, presented to NHRA to get approved. Then they have to get bodies manufactured. Then there has to be at least some testing happening. You're not going to show up in Pomona with one that just came out of the mold that you don't even know if it's going to hold up at 320 miles an hour. There's a lot of stuff to do there. If it ends up that their manufacturer is one that's already out there, well, that'll cut a couple of steps out of the process. But, I don't know which direction they're going. I don't know who they're talking to. And, the clock really is ticking from literally the day the last wind light comes on in Pomona, or the moment the last wind light comes on in Pomona, until we start unloading stuff out there in February.
A lot of work, a lot of things happening, and holidays thrown in there. You got to take a little me time. What are you doing for Thanksgiving there, Alan?
Working on my Mustang. I'm going to, Thanksgiving is supposed to be family. My 67 Mustang is my longest surviving relative that I'm still in touch with, so we're going to spend the day together.
That is awesome, and I think the WFO audience is rooting for that as well. They want you to audio record the first time that thing fires up so we can play it on the show. Happy Thanksgiving to you, obviously, and the Mustang. Safe travels, even more importantly, across the pond, as they say. And, of course, thank you very much for going in-depth on several different aspects of the world of drag racing.
A pleasure, as always. It'll definitely be a weird Tuesday next week that I don't get to chat with you, but we'll have plenty of stuff to talk about when I get back, and at least I hope so. I'm really looking forward to the trip. I hope that it lives up to the expectations, but again, from everybody I've talked to that's been through this, I say it's just an amazing experience. So, can't wait.
I think you're gonna come back with some great stories about the people that you met, these soldiers over there who are, you know, they're following the NHRA as best as they can. That's what these guys always end up talking about. I have a feeling that that's gonna get you right where it matters.
Well, that's one of the reasons that they do this trip, is because so many of the members of our armed forces are car people, and they do follow the racing, and they follow, you know, all forms of motorsport. And so to have an opportunity for, you know, you think about Dan Runty, who drives Bigfoot. There is no bigger name in motorsports than Bigfoot. And then world champion Jason Lyne, world champion Greg Anderson, world champion Eddie Krawick, and world champion Andrew Hines. That's four pretty powerful motorsports figures to take over there. And again, one of the things that's just so interesting, Jason says it's crazy that everywhere we go, people thank us for coming. And he says they seem to be missing the point that we're there to thank them for what they do, because if it wasn't for them, we couldn't be home racing and doing what we do. So it's a pretty good experience from everything I've heard about it, and I can't wait to experience it firsthand.
I wish you well. Enjoy yourself, and we'll talk about it when you get back. Alan, thank you very much. Great job. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, Joe. Happy holidays to you as well, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joining us each week right here on WFO Radio. It is the NHRA conversation that you cannot miss on a weekly basis. But we've got champion drivers coming up. We've got a lot going on. Here's what's coming up on the show. Just minutes from now, literally seconds, a whole lot of seconds, Erica Enders Stevens, the Pro Stock Mellow Yellow Series world champion. Going to talk about everything. It all goes down minutes from now with Erica Enders Stevens. If you're a fan of Erica, you are going to love it, but stick around because we have the Mellow Yellow Series Pro Stock Motorcycle World Champion, Andrew Hines, going to talk about the championship run and has it all sunk in four titles in his career. We're going to talk with Andrew on the show. Then we're going to debrief with the president of John Force Racing, Robert Height. Robert Height on this show. You are not going to want to miss what he has to say. What about manufacturer? The news. Is it coming? When's it coming? What's the news? We're going to ask him. Robert Height, grading the drivers of John Force Racing. Robert Height, plans for 2015. The turmoil, how it was handled at the conclusion of 2014. There's a lot of great information there for your fans of John Force Racing and fans of other teams. You're not going to want to miss the Robert Height interview. And we mentioned it at the start of the show with Alan, PR legend in the motorsports world, Denny Darnell, passing away this past week. An outpouring of respect from the entire motorsports community. During my interaction with Mr. Darnell, I was unaware of his icon status in the PR industry. This is 15 years ago. And I wanted to talk about it because it's such an important position in the world of motorsports. So we reached out to someone who certainly knew him well. The director of media relations for Alanabi Racing, Rob Goodman, going to be on the show, normally behind the scenes, going to come on the show to talk about the life and career of Denny Darnell. Not going to want to miss a second of this show, so stick around. Erica Enders Stevens coming up next, but first, time to tell you about one of our great sponsors, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. If you're a drag racing fan, I know that you know and know of Frank, what he has been doing as a funny car driver, winning back-to-back world championships with Austin Coyle in the 80s with the Chi-Town Hustler. I remember the first time I saw it come to Gainesville on the back of that ramp truck or that box truck that had a million miles on it from all the match racing they did. And he goes out, wins a couple of world championships. Next thing you know, starts Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, where legends go for a tune-up on their driving skill, the mental side of it. And aspiring pros go for their initial licensing in Super Comp. And maybe you want to become a professional drag racer or a bracket racer. You just want to get better. You want to have the champion's mentality and understand how they do it and get the job done. Well, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School is the great place to do it. But maybe you're just a fan and you want the experience. As so many people who have a little bit of disposable resources to go have once-in-a-lifetime experiences. For you people, Frank has created something called the Dragster Adventure. That's right, the Dragster Adventure. It's not one of these deals where you're riding along with someone and they're driving and you're a passenger. You are the driver. And you can even race. Courses start at $399, but I just got off the phone with the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. And if you call them, 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. They can work out a payment installment plan. So if you're thinking about doing the Dragster Adventure in 2015, but you don't know when, or you'd like to get your son or your daughter or your dad or your mother or your uncle or your boss or your neighbor or your crew guys, your best friends, or a bachelor party, a ride at the Dragster Adventure, you can work it out for the holidays and then plan according to the schedule. When you think about the price point, $399, for what you're getting, it's actually really low. You're out to the track, you're in the car, you're going down the track multiple times, you are driving. Just to get that experience, it would take a lot of resources. Frank makes it easy. But now he's making the payments easy as well. 866-480-7223. You can break up the cost, but you got to call him. You can't get on the website and do that. FrankHawley.com. You want to call and do it in person. And of course, tell him you heard it here on WFO Radio. You're planning on this for 2015. You want to make some payments and be ready to go. I think it is a great deal that enables diehard fans or fans who want this experience to actually participate in the Dragster Adventure at some point over the course of 2015 and give this great gift for the holidays. Last week, I put Giovanni on the spot. I asked him what I got. He's my producer on the Ignition Show. I asked him what I got him for Christmas last year, and he did not remember. Of course he didn't remember. Nobody remembers what they got last year. Unless it's something big, something cool, something dramatic that stays with you for the rest of your life. And guess what that is? It's the Dragster Adventure at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Check him out at frankhawley.com or give him a call. 866-480-7223. Tell him you heard it on WFO. We'll be back with Erica Ender-Stevens, the champ, on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular
water winner for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Can we call you nine time?
Absolutely. And I like hearing it. You call me as many times as you want.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Welcome back to all you NHRA fans. Now, you know the racing stops during the offseason, but the working continues. The getting ready for 2015 is happening, but we are still catching up with the 2014 Mellow Yellow Champions. And to start us off on the show, we have got the historic first female ever in pro stock to win the Mellow Yellow World Championship joins Angelle and Shirley as the female champions in NHRA history. Here she is, Erica Ender-Stevens. Erica, welcome back.
Thanks, Joe. How are you doing?
I am well. How about that intro, joining Angelle and Shirley in the super VIP category?
That's pretty unbelievable. I mean, they were heroes of mine as I was growing up and have become mentors and friends over the years. So to add my name to a list with theirs is a pretty big honor.
Tremendous. And the way you did it was even more spectacular, historic in terms of just great competition. But first, I noticed a little rasp in your voice. What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. I came home from California. Like, I got to come home Thursday night. We had to stay and do some media stuff, and we did the LA Auto Show with NHRA and the other champions, and I came home and was sick. I got sick. I guess I killed my immune system with stress and whatever else. So, I've got a little raspy voice. I apologize.
No, it's okay. I just wanted everybody to, understand what's going on out there. They might be like, Erica, why she sound so... But
I promise I'm not a guy. I just can't talk today.
But I think there's something to it going through what you went through, such a just an intense countdown. The whole season, the second half of the season, you having to shoulder knowing the whole time that you had a car capable of winning. And it was going to come down to the little things, getting the job done, you're driving. And you came through with flying colors, but carrying that through the countdown must have been very difficult.
Yes, it's a heavy load, that's for sure. I mean, but at the same time, what a blessing to even have the chance to be nervous or have the opportunity to be stressed out and carry that load on your shoulders. But it was an amazing season. I mean, it's the best season of my career by far, with 6 wins. The most wins I had before that was 4. And just what we were able to accomplish this year was pretty awesome. So, you know, the final few races were very stressful, and, you know, I knew that it was going to come down to the wire, and it was a make-it-or-break-it weekend in Vegas, and, you know, Rick and Ricky Jones gave me the best race car on the property, and we were able to get it done there. I drove really well, and, you know, coming into Pomona, we had figured out all the mathematical ways it was possible to do it or to lose it, and, you know, I just had to take a deep breath and go after it. And, you know, my guys performed so well under the pressure. It was immense. I mean, I wish people could understand what it felt like. And it was so crazy, but so rewarding. And man, oh, man. I got back to the trailer after the winner's circle, and I literally laid on the floor. I was shaking. I was physically and mentally beat.
I can imagine the release of relief after you realize, because I think about this, even my little moments that I have had, like when it is all over and you just know that you've done it, you've accomplished it, You're full of adrenaline, but now it's just over. It's time to go. And that's kind of a weird moment. It's kind of tough to deal with.
Yeah, it's an interesting moment because it's just like a huge sigh of relief. And, you know, a lot comes with winning the championship that I had no idea. So it's been a fun, really busy week. You know, but we all talked on, you know, after the race, and then I talked to Nick Ferry, my engine builder, yesterday, and he's like, well, we've soaked it all in, and Monday starts working towards 2015, and, you know, today I start with a trainer, and we're just all going back to work and getting ready for it. So we've got to enjoy it for a week, and believe me, we'll enjoy it for the rest of our lives, but at the same time, we've got to focus on next year, and we've got a lot of people that are going to be after us, and Jason Lyon told Richard Freeman and I at the banquet, you know, joking around, and we were being fun and having a good time, but he says, you guys get zero chance of standing up there next year. So they're coming after us, and we've got to get down to it and make sure that that's not possible.
Is there someone better that you could have gone toe-to-toe with down to the final race than a guy like Jason Lyon, who is just an intense competitor? When he runs low ET, he gets out of the car and he's like, yeah, it could have been better. A guy who is very internally focused on himself, his team, the cars. You know, you went up against one of the very best, and when the chips were down, you performed and you won.
I mean, no, it was a storybook finish for sure, and one that'll probably get talked about for years to come in an HRA, but you know, Jason's a great guy. He's one of the few out there that is genuine, and you know, he is a fierce competitor. You hit that nail on the head, and a perfectionist, and you can tell that by his interviews when he gets out of the car and nitpicks a near perfect run. And you know, anybody that's competitive will do that, but Jason's a great guy, and you know, I was happy that it came down to the final round, that you know, nobody else had to beat me and nobody else had to beat him. It was up to him and I in the finals to decide who was going to win the championship, and man, what a race. And you know, we ran three 6:49 fours in a row, first, second, and third round, and you know, because of what happened in the finals, I think our run got overlooked a little bit, but we went a 6:48.0, and I'm so proud of Rick and Ricky Jones. You know, the pressure that was on them that round, and we went out there and just lit the scoreboard up. So it was really cool, and, you know, I'm very proud to have raced alongside of Jason. He's a great guy.
Would you say the gravity of it all has sunken in? It usually takes, we have been fortunate to speak with people who have won championships minutes after, days after, weeks after, and it seems like the more time goes by, the more understanding people have of what they have accomplished and how big a deal it is.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. I mean, it's every driver and team member's goal out there. You know, it's why we go out 24 weeks a year. It's why we work hard. It's why we spend time away from our families, even though we don't want to. And it's just a huge accomplishment, and I'm so honored and proud to have done it. But honestly, I'm not quite sure if it's sunk in 100%. I mean, after the race on Sunday, I got the chance to sign a poster, and they said, you know, write 2014 world champion. And I mean, that was a really cool moment, but it was minutes after we accomplished it. So it was, it's crazy. I still can't believe it. I mean, I had a chance to sit down with Richie for a little while, and we talked about it, and you know, it sunk in. And then last week I spent some time with Richard Freeman, and I mean, sitting in the lobby of the hotel and just him saying, do you realize what we've accomplished? And we've only been together a year, and it just says so much about our team, and it's a huge deal. But in the whole grand scheme of life, it's only important in our little world of drag racing. So I feel really honored, but at the same time, I mean, it's, wow. I don't know what to say. I've struggled in my interview since then, like putting it into words, because it's crazy. It's hard to fathom.
What about media? What is the least drag racing related media obligation that you have had so far?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I know that I met with an HRA after the race. I think it was Wednesday that we went to their headquarters in Glendora and met. And you know, we're working on a lot of mainstream media stuff right now. We've pitched a lot of your normal talk shows and like the Today Show and Good Morning America and Jimmy Kimmel, and so all of those things are in the works, but I haven't completed any really form of media other than, I mean, USA Today was pretty big, and the New York Times was huge, and we did the LA Auto Show, and nothing really that I've completed that's like huge outside of drag racing besides those two newspaper publications.
Tremendous in motorsports, though, and I think that as the year, it's kind of interesting. I've noticed this over the past couple of years that, at the end of the year, it's such a big deal to get through the season, to finish the season. There's a cumulative exhaustion with everyone, and then, go through the holidays, of course, Thanksgiving, and then ramp back up after the first of the year. I am looking forward to seeing what you are able to accomplish. While we are talking championship, because I do want to talk about a couple of the runs, the final two runs, just unreal. But first, I want to let you know that our sponsor, one of our great sponsors, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, has offered for me to give to each of the Mellow Yellow champions a Rodax WFO holiday pack. Do you drink coffee, Erica?
I do. We drink coffee a lot here. Richie does especially.
Marvin Rodak is a award-winning barbecuer from Fort Worth, Texas. I guess, if you're from Texas, you know what you're doing. But he also blends his own custom coffees and has been a sponsor on WFO for the past year, I would say, and has blended a WFO radio blend and has put together a holiday pack that includes WFO radio blend coffee, a special custom made by him habanero hot sauce, and an A26 award-winning spice rub for the champions. You are a champion. You've got some Rodax coffee coming to you, courtesy of Marvin Rodak. What do you think about that?
Thank you, Marvin. That's awesome. Obviously from Texas, I'm a big barbecue fan, and I love anything spicy, so that'll go to good use in our house.
Absolutely. No, I was thrilled when he offered it up, and I'm glad you like it, because not everybody likes coffee. I'm just finding this out. Some people are non-coffites.
I'm not a huge coffee drinker, but my husband and my team owner are, so it'll get drank for sure.
Well, excellent. At the end of the interview, I'll get a contact info from you.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much. Marvin has been great. Let's talk about the Trip Zeros run. Are you kidding me? First time ever?
I know. That's a little too close for comfort. But, after the first two rounds, I didn't really press the tree because I didn't want to give it up. And I was 60 both of those rounds. And, Jonathan's known for his whole shot victory, so I didn't want to allow him to take the championship from my team. So I just went up there and gave it my all. And, of course, again, Rick and Ricky Jones gave me a great race car and all of my guys. So it was crazy. I mean, I've not been shy about my faith, but the good Lord, he was definitely driving all weekend, and it's pretty crazy. I heard that that's the first time that that's happened in the history of professional drag racing. So I don't think it was the record that Jonathan and I wanted by any means, but we got it, and we were fortunate enough to come out on the right side of it.
You make the point is Jonathan Gray is going to look at that ET slip for the rest of his life and say, what?
Yeah, he's such a good guy. He's so gracious and kind to me and my team, and we appreciate him. I'll tell you what people didn't see is after that round, and we gave each other a hug, and he's like, go get it done, whatever. And, we started to tow back, and our golf cart broke down. So here we are, trying to hurry to get to scales and fuel check and get back. We only have 45 minutes to service our car before the finals, and we don't have a way to get back to the pits. And he unhooked his golf cart and pushed his car so that we could tow our car back to the pits. So hats off to his team, and a big thank you for that. It just goes to show that, you only hate each other on the racetrack, and afterwards everybody's a big family out there.
Absolutely. We did not see that. I did see him come over and congratulate you, though. You mentioned your faith has been a big part of this, and you're open about it. And everyone has their way of dealing with the, I'll call it the randomness of that 1/1000th of a second that we're just talking about. Mm-hmm. Trip zero, what decides that? How does it happen that it's not a 001 red or worse? How does that happen? Just living on the edge of thousandth of 1 second to determine an entire season's worth of work. It is something that drag racers have to, you know, wonder, like, what yeah. is that that makes that happen?
Well, we live and die by thousandths of a second, as you know, and I've been on the wrong side of that a lot of times, and, you know, but we've been on the right side, too. So it just was by the grace of God that it was, I mean, he has the plan. I always say that the book was already written, and we just have to go out and do the best job that we can. And, you know, we came out on the right side, but it's so hard to describe how close that is. I mean, you can't blink your eye in a few hundredths of a second, let alone 1,000th of a second. There's no movement or sound that is that quick. So, you know, I guess honestly, it was a blessing. I went up there. I knew I was going to be close. I set up to be like 8.008, and I staged really shallow, and the sun was in my eyes, so I really thought that that would hinder me a little bit and make me a little bit slower, which is why I set up so close. And we got a little too close, but we got the win, and that's all that matters, I guess.
I believe I remember you holding your hand up to block the sun on that run, and
yeah.
then the final round, you're going up against Jason. What were you set up for on that run compared to the previous run?
I should have been 12. It got really dark. I moved my clutch pedal before the finals to slow my reaction time down, and I should have been 12. I staged incredibly shallow. We went back and watched the slow-mo video, and, you know, everything was done right, and it was on the wrong side of green. So I learned something there. I've got to watch the sun a little bit better. I knew it was going to be dark up there, but I didn't know it was going to be that dark. So, you know, with the dark, you see the light sooner, and I was a little nervous that round because of how close I was the round before, but I tried to put it out of my mind because I changed my clutch pedal and should have been 10 to 12. So, you know, it is what it is. And Ricky Jones really helped me a lot with that. Like, he just says, give it to God. And, you know, you've got to give it your all if you want to win this championship. And if it's meant to be, it'll be. And it was, fortunately, because we were both red. So that kind of sucks. But I guess it doesn't say anywhere how on the scorecard.
Yeah, well, I think Jason would say it is not the best.
Well, it doesn't.
It's not the best. You came out on the higher end of that downside. But at the end of it all, you win the race. You set low ET. You have the best reaction time. You have top speed in the meet. And you become the champion at the Auto Club Finals. That is a pretty good weekend. When this, you know, the information, the text, you said it on the red carpet at the NHRA banquet that you just had a mile of texts and whatnot. Anything really meaningful or surprising come in from someone who you might have been surprised, like, wow, this person paying attention?
I got hundreds and hundreds of text messages. I got a really important phone call Sunday night from Shirley Muldowney, and that meant a lot to me, obviously. And Angel and I communicated on Saturday, and she texted on Sunday. And I mean, just a handful of legends from our sport. Bob Fry texted. I thought that was cool that he was keeping up, and just really crazy. I mean, even Beverly Mitchell, the girl that played me in Ride on Track, she sent me a Twitter message. So it's really cool how many people were actually following it. And when we came home, Richie's family had a surprise party for me, and that was really cool. And when we went out afterwards, we had like a VIP section, and they played that This Girl Is On Fire song when we walked in, and he's like, you know, world champion, blah, blah, blah. And it was crazy how many people that weren't involved in racing knew what was going on even there here in New Orleans. So it was, it's pretty crazy to see how many people actually followed it, and I've had such a cool response. I've loved it. I wish I could get back to everybody. I made a post today saying, thank you so much. You know, I'm going to do my best to get back to everybody, but it's thousands and thousands of messages. So it's just been overwhelming. It's been so, so cool.
Well, you know, for a long time, I've really been working on trying to get the sequel to Right on Track made. And we need to hope that Bob Iger was paying attention, because I think you have made a tremendous move to a great sequel by bookending the career. Junior Dragster Star returns, you know, turmoil, finding sponsorship, gets together with his team, goes out, wins the title. Like, it's written itself.
It really has, and Richard Freeman hired a camera crew to follow us this year, so we have, like, so much behind-the-scenes footage. It's really cool. It's that racingandred.com deal that we had started at the beginning of the year, and they were present for four of our six wins, including locking the championship up. So we have a lot of cool footage, and so pitch away, Joe. I could use your help.
We're working on it. We're working on it, starting right now. We'll call Mickey Mouse himself and lean on him a little bit. What about holiday plans? What do you got going for Thanksgiving, and what are you going to do other than prepare for 2015? And, you know, I got a million questions to ask you about that because, you know, defending the title is really where you're carrying the number one. You're the champ. It's different. I want to talk about that at some point, but we'll let you get over your illness. What about Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, we're going to Houston with my family. Richie and I always trade off, so Thanksgiving's in Houston this year, and Christmas will be here in New Orleans. But, you know, it's pretty quick-lived. I mean, I'm going down there for the holiday. Then Sunday I'm heading to Oklahoma with my sister and Adam Lambert from Penske Shocks and Richard Freeman and all the guys on my team, and we're going deer hunting for a couple days, and that'll be really fun and kind of relaxing. And then after that, we head to PRI, and before we know it, Christmas and New Year's will be here, and then we'll be testing in January. So it's all hectic. There's so many good things in the works for our team this off season. Just a lot of exciting news. So I'm on cloud nine. It's awesome.
Well, I think you did a great thing for the sport. In addition to your personal success, it was a great story, great for pro stock as a class. People were talking about what's going to happen, and all of a sudden, this tremendous resurgent year. You leading the way, but Jason and guys like Jonathan Gray coming on the scene, just so many fun stories out there in pro stock, and you cap it off with a championship, just tremendous. But listen, I want you to have some, you know, rest time now. It's time to cool out and rest, so I will let you go. But thank you for coming on WFO Radio, sharing it with our audience. We have all of your wins in our archive, and our listeners go back and listen to that stuff all the time. What did you think after a certain event? What did you think before the, you know, the Western Swing? All those things. Those are archived forever, hopefully. And I think it's just tremendous what you did. Thank you so much for not just this time, but throughout the season, coming on the show.
I love coming on, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Erica. Greatly appreciate it. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Erica. Happy Thanksgiving. Erica Ender-Stevens, the 2014 NHRA Mellow Yellow Pro Stock Champion, with us here on WFO. You can go back in the archive and hear every one of Erica's victories from this past season, what she was thinking, the whole deal. Spend a little time in the archive. You will absolutely love it. She seemed stoked to get the Rodak Holiday Pack. That is so cool of Marvin Rodak to offer the WFO Holiday Pack for the Mellow Yellow Champions. The WFO Radio Coffee, number one. Number two, the Habanero Hot Sauce, which is my favorite. It's just awesome. And, of course, the Barbecue Spice Rub, which really goes good on everything. You will love it. And she seemed very excited about it. We'll see what Andrew thinks coming up in a few minutes. Andrew Hines from Vance and Hines, Screaming Eagle, Harley-Davidson, his fourth championship in his career. We're going to debrief, talk with him about his trip that he is getting ready to go on with Alan Reinhart. That is all coming up. Then we're going to hear from Robert Height, president of John Force Racing, about the 2014 season, the 2015 season, all the John Force Racing is in the news storylines. You're not going to want to miss it. John Force fans, got to give you a little bit of a taste at the end of this season. It was a good season. I'm going to ask Robert what he thinks. But it was a good season on balance for John Force Racing. They did not win the title. It happens. But we're going to ask him all about it. Robert Height coming up on WFO Radio. Then Rob Goodman, the director of media relations for Alanabi Racing, worked directly with PR icon Denny Darnell, the general, an outpouring of respect in the wake of his passing this past week. We're going to speak with Rob about how Denny was able to leave such an impression on his peers and the people who worked in the industry of motorsports PR. Do not miss that. And if you're an NHRA fan and you love the show, be sure to download the WFO Radio app. We have T-shirts on sale for your holiday gift-giving expressions. If you want to say to your wife, honey, I love you greatly, here, have a WFO Radio T-shirt. I don't think it's going to go over too well for you. Maybe your buddy or your friend, but just, you know, Always use caution. Now, something that is always going to get you a great response is RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Check out Marvin Rodak's website. They have got a lot of great stuff going on over there because they're dealing with the top 5% of coffee grown around the world. They're dealing with farmers that sometimes will only grow 10 sacks of coffee per year. This is the best of the best. Marvin is based in Fort Worth, Texas, and is blending his own custom blends of coffee. You hear us talking about the WFO Radio blend or the Bang the Blower blend. This is what he does, and they're all roasted for your order. So you are going to get some fresh, fresh coffee. But it's holiday times, right? We're giving away the WFO Holiday Pack to each of the Mellow Yellow Series champions. The coffee, the hot sauce, the rub, all together, $22. Normally $28, $22 for the WFO Holiday Pack. Think about your clients, your buddies, your sales team. Like, what are you going to do for them? Is it going to be special? While I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking maybe I should get the WFO Holiday Pack for some people out there as well. It is a great Christmas gift, and it's great to give for yourself because the coffee is going to last a while. The hot sauce is unreal, incredible, and, of course, the spice rub, something that will be in your cabinet until you use it up, and then it'll be time to go for more. Give Marvin a call. This is the best way to do it. Call him up. Tell him you heard it on WFO. Marvin, WFO, 817-924-6821. That's 817-924-6821. You can get there from the front page of WFOradio.com if you like. Or go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com to check it out. But they're taking orders by phone. They ship it out. They do a lot more than just these blends. They have got micro lots from New Guatemala. They have got Australian. They've got the Kona coffee from Hawaii. Recipes. It's a lot of good stuff. Even whole barbecues you can order from Marvin. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. We've got more holiday packs to give away to the Mellow Yellow Series champions for them to enjoy. When we come back, we're going to check in with Andrew Hines, and we'll surprise him with one as well when we return with champ Andrew Hines, followed by Robert Height, Rob Goodman on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
The one, the only WFO radio, NHRA Nitro.
You got to keep on keeping on. It's top fuel drag racing going 330 miles an hour. You never know what can happen, so hang on and we're having fun.
WFORadio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Welcome back, NHRA fans, to WFO Radio. And I told you last week, and I've been telling you for a while, this so-called off-season that isn't really an off-season because everybody is working for 2015 right now already is going to be filled with great interviews on NHRA Nitro, and we're going to keep going and we're going to follow the stories. I've gotten a lot of texts and tweets from NHRA fans who are like, what are we going to do now, Joe? Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of champions to interview and a lot of people to catch up with, and this show is a perfect example. Hopefully you will subscribe and download the app. Joining us now, he is the 2014 Mellow Yellow Pro Stock Motorcycle Champion of the World. Andrew Hines is back. Andrew, welcome back.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be here as always.
So last time we spoke, a couple weeks ago, it's in the archive. If you listen to the interview very carefully, I was struggling to not have it be inevitable because anything could happen. You could, on your way to the track, you could get hit by a bus. You know, it might not have happened. Now it has happened. You are the champion. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I think Eddie was trying to make it a little interesting, too. He told me he was going to pay off our truck driver to drop off my bike in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Luckily, that didn't happen.
Yes. Obviously, there's some incentive for the truck driver to bring it to the track. But that's got to be a very interesting situation where it's not mathematically locked up, but you just have to do your normal thing, qualify for the race, and you will get it. It must be like a ginger feeling, like walking on eggshells. Let me not get hurt. Let me not get, slip and fall in the shower at the hotel, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. You know, it was even going all the way back just to sitting at home watching TV. You know, my four-year-old son Declan, he likes to jump all over me at night when I get home from work, and I had to make sure he wasn't going to, you know, hyperextend one of my knees or anything I've had it kicked up on the coffee table. So it was I was stressed out. I just knew I had to get to the race and focus on, you know, our normal job and go out there and qualify decent, and things would transpire and take place as they should. But it, I was really, really stressed out about it. I don't know why it was so bad, but I guess I've been so close to a couple championships over a few years past that I knew how easily they could slip away.
The bookending of championships, I think it's something very important to legacy. There are times in careers, and I'll liken it to the New York Yankees. Derek Jeter just retired. He had a bunch of World Series championships early in his career in a big clump, and you're thinking, well, that's the golden age. That's when they were great. But to get one right at the end of his career in 2009, I believe, it tied it all together. Like, wow, this is a guy who brought it at an extremely high level over his entire career, winning early, winning late. Your first championship, 2004. Now you won 2014, and you have had four titles in 10 years. That speaks volumes about the kind of racer you are and the kind of personality you are when it comes to working behind the scenes. It has to.
It does. You know, it shows how good our team has been, not over just the last 10 years, but the history of the sport. You know, with my dad racing in the early 90s and, you know, Terry Vance pioneering that lead, that charge in the 80s. So my brother racing throughout the 90s, he had three championships as well, so it's been a good career here at Vance and Hines. They've you know, with the knowledge base my dad has, we've always been able to run up front. He's been, you know, the pioneer bringing championships to many different manufacturers, and luckily I'm just able to do it on Harley Davidson right now. And it's it's been tough. We've been in the hunt, you know, pretty much the whole time in my career. You know, whether it's been me or teammates, and it's nice to get a number one back on the side of my bike. It's been a while. I chased it for a long time, and it's believe me, this fourth one means the world to me.
Was there any moment of reflection, questioning, perhaps, as Eddie has been on a tear, winning three titles in the last 6 years? You're riding the same bikes. It seems like the brakes are going his way, or the big rounds that come down to a couple of thou, they just naturally go one way or the other, and sometimes it's the same way a couple of times in a row. Was there ever a point where you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm on the same bike, what do I got to do here?
Exactly. You know, I've always thought of it, and we've always brought it back down to, well, let Eddie ride my bike, or I'll ride Eddie's bike, and we've seemed to always take the rider out of the equation, and I can get on his bike and go fast, and he get on my bike and go slow. So we knew it was an issue with the performance of my motorcycle, and it just took us forever to nail it down. But you know, even when we switched bikes in the middle of the year this year, that didn't totally solve the problem. So we're thinking there's actually something wrong with Eddie's bike that makes it fast now.
Really?
But yeah, it could be something as stupid as that, where his bike, you know, we haven't touched it in 4 or 5 years in the wiring or anything like that, and it goes fast all the time, and mine just seems to go and be finicky, and even if it's got new wiring or old wiring. So it could be some subtle thing wrong with his bike that makes it better, and we're going to delve into that this off season and see exactly what the deal is. And luckily, you know, with trying to weed out all those situations throughout the year and the countdown, Dallas was a big turning point, and Matt was finally starting to pick on my bike in different ways and figured out which way it needed to go finally on the tune-up. And from then on, it was not smooth sailing, but we found a direction, and we just took our small baby steps towards those ways, and it got faster and faster and faster, and ultimately we had both E-rods running the same.
I think that the aspect of racing in general that we get to see as fans, as casual observers, you guys pulled in a line in all classes, and you race and we're thinking, wow, who's making more horsepower or who's hooking it up better, is so much more simplistic than what you guys actually have to go through. I was having a conversation with one of the pro stock guys out there, and they were telling me they have to buy X amount of carburetors just to have a litter to pick from. They'll get like 5 or 10, and then they'll end up with, you know, 2 out of 10 that are just the best of the bunch, and you don't know why, and there is no rhyme or reason. They're supposed to all be the same, but they're not. Thinking about that with all the different parts and pieces that are on these motorcycles and how many different changes and directions you guys can go in to either increase performance or increase reaction time, It's a calculus that it almost, you know, gives me a headache just thinking about it.
Yeah, there's a ton of different scenarios that play out, you know, trying to figure out how to make the motorcycle go fast. And it's come down to the little micro tuning that you have to do. You know, it's not just let's plug this in there and see what it does. You have to analyze what that did and move it each direction, you know, in different types of weather. The problem is with, you know, we can go testing and we can make 10, 12, 15 runs a day. And you're doing that every 40 minutes. So you're making changes and you're keeping up with the weather every 40 minutes. Then you go to an NHRA event and you got 3 hours between qualifying sessions, and the weather can change drastically in 3 hours, obviously. So we can, you tend to start second guessing because you're like, well, I did this when we tested last week, but now it's not working. You know, one little part of the weather might have changed, you know, 10 grains of water, and that might be affecting your fuel, and, everything just kind of compiles and adds up, and you have to figure out, you know, you have to have the knowledge base, and you have to have the data to support your theories of which way you want to go. And we were starting to get a handle on it slowly throughout the year, and were able to really get it fine-tuned right around Charlotte, Dallas time.
Very, very cool, and just watching the whole thing happen, Willie G in the house, and so Harley has been great. Whenever you guys are on the cusp of something big, he seems to show up at the track to celebrate, and shows that the company's really behind you.
Oh, yeah. Willie G, he likes to bookend the year. You know, we always see him out there in Gainesville. He likes to get his adrenaline pumping in the beginning of the season. And then luckily with the performance we've had, he's always been able to make it out to Pomona and root us on and hope that one of us will bring home a Harley championship. So it's always great to have Willie and Nancy there. You know, they love the sport. They love motorcycle riding. It's just obviously it's in their blood. And you know, I couldn't ask for to have any more support from them. They do a fantastic job, you know, touting Harley Davidson around the country. but it's really cool to have them at our trailer at the racetrack.
So at the finals, you lock up the championship, but you want to win the race too. You go to the semis, and Eddie gets one in on you, the final race of the year, like the battle back between you and Eddie for fun and bragging rights in the shop. You got the title, but he won the final race of the year against you.
Yeah, he whooped up on me pretty much all through the countdown. That one round there in Pomona was really due to lane choice. We'd been running the left lane all day. That was our preferable lane all through qualifying and everything. And he had just about a hundredth and a half on me in that second round of eliminations, and he was able to keep the left lane. I went to the right lane. He had his same 60-foot he'd been having all day, and I slowed down 460-foot because it was shaking and rattling the tire, and that was ultimately it. He went 85, I went 89, and it was all due to 60-foot. We ran the same exact speed at the finish line. So we even put on a little bit of a show there for the fans, had a little staging duel with each other and blipping the throttle back and forth, and had our crew guys laughing and angry at us because that's not something we normally do, and it kind of threw everybody for a loop. They didn't know we were going to do it. We just we wanted to go up there and have some fun.
Very, very cool. Now, I think it's important that the audience knows that you are not alone while doing this interview. You have a special guest that arrived in the mail earlier, moments ago.
Moments ago, literally 10 minutes ago, I had the 2014 Mellow Yellow Championship Wally show up and you know, just unpacked the box full of all the peanuts and came in here and jumped on the WFO radio. And that's sitting in the corner of my office now with my 04 and 05 trophies. My 06 is actually over in our race room hanging out with those guys. So it's nice to have them all in one spot.
A little extra motivation. How was the party afterwards and the banquet? Given the speech, how did all of that go?
Everything went well. Speech was, you know, that's the most nerve-wracking part about winning the championship is having to give that speech in front of 1,000 people that you know at the awards banquet, so it's that's tough. But the after party is always a good time. I don't know if you watched the speech, but my son Declan, he made his own cameo appearance and came up and stood next to me at one point during the speech, and he got all the attention. He stole the show on that one, I guess. And that was a very special moment. You know, it's something I can look back on and, you know, show him in years to come, and hopefully he'll always get a kick out of it. But went and hung out at the after party afterwards, and it's always good to unwind at the end of the year, sit around and talk to people and hang out with friends and, you know, talk about what we got planned for the off season and the next year. So it's a good time. You know, we closed the place down and stuck around on Tuesday through getting our truck guy back to the track, and we had to actually unload my motorcycle, take it back to the LA Auto Show because we were invited out for that this year, and did a big press deal Wednesday morning at the Los Angeles Auto Show, and ultimately had a good time. You know, it's nice to be invited to those things when you're the champion. That's a big perk to having the number one.
Oh, absolutely. You're a representative of the sport, something that I would like to see increase. I would like to see you out there more. I want more hours on your calendar. I want more work out of Andrew. But really, you are a great representative of the sport and what's going on, and a class that is a pro class that once you get to know it, you end up liking it a whole lot more because you realize there are personalities and you see you guys on the bikes. I think it has a lot of potential growth yet to come, and you're going to be the face of it in 2015.
Yeah, we're going to try and grow this sport as big as we can. I think the hardest thing for people to understand is that a lot of people aren't motorcycle riders, so they can't really relate to what's going on. The people in the stands that do ride motorcycles and ride dirt bikes and things like that, they can kind of understand what we're going through. But, you know, with being in a car-based sport, it's hard for that casual fan to understand a motorcycle, and they don't really understand what we have to do to get that thing down the track. It's trying to throw you off the back of it and do everything in its power to not go where you want it to. So, you know, we just have to, for the most part, you know, be ahead of it and be along for the ride and get to that finish line. So it's a tough deal going 200 miles an hour in less than 7 seconds. It's a ride that, you know, gets your attention. You know, I don't really notice it until we get to the shutdown area. Then you got to stop the darn thing. That's the biggest thing.
I think that you had mentioned that a while back, and it's something that I don't know that the average fan takes into consideration. Even me, I become desensitized to the idea that just because you turn on the wind light or cross the finish line, the run is not over.
Absolutely not. You could see that in the footage from Pomona on ESPN2. You watch some of the other guys, competitors, like I think Elvira and Adam Arana and Hector Jr., they all had issues with locking up either the front or the rear tire and the bike getting really out of shape. You know, Pomona's fairly bumpy in the shutdown area and really, really short. So running big speeds and quick ETs, it's hard to get them slowed down in that amount of time. And that's when, you know, riding motocross and dirt bikes throughout my career or throughout my life as a younger kid really paid dividends. You know, when it's locking the front tire up and the best thing you can do is let go of the brake, even though it seems like a bad thing to do because you're coming up on the sand trap. You got to get off the brake, get the front tire spinning again, then you can get back on it. So there's subtleties in the shutdown area that are just as important as going down the racetrack.
Now, I know you guys got a big trip coming up. I want to ask you about that, but I also greatly appreciate, and I get a lot of texts and emails about when you're on, we learn something. We always learn something. This year, you guys pretty much dominated the class. Last year was a rebuilding year. You went through it. Towards the countdown, you were starting to really come on. This year was what many expected, and you had great success. But other things that came out of this year that I want to address and get your opinion on. The Suzukis appear to be back if you have the tune-up. Jerry Savoie and even Steve Johnson able to score wins. I shouldn't say even Steve Johnson. Steve Johnson able to score wins and show that there is a road ahead for that combination, it seems.
It is, and you can see that with also Fred Camarena from Pomona. He had his first 6-second runs, and he's not even using an engine that's to the full limit of the size rules. He's still 100cc small, but he's running out of the same trailer or getting the same help as Jerry. You know, Tim Kalungian's really helped out. Fred is getting his 60-foot program down, and he's helped him find a direction on fuel and timing. And Fred had one of the best Suzuki speeds of the weekend. He went almost 196 miles an hour the first round of eliminations out there. And just think if he had the extra 100cc's. I mean, that thing would be a serious contender. So you can see that, you know, how critical the tune-up is, because Jerry wasn't quite on his game all weekend until E1, and then Fred was fast all weekend long, but if he had the extra performance, he would have been right up front also.
Freddie, you know, obviously he had a tough deal having to run up against Hector Jr. in the first round, but he's the guy who brought Danny Griego to the party, and then Danny jumping in with sponsorship money that you guys were able to secure, but a big deal for the class, and a really nice guy Freddie is.
Absolutely. You know, Fred, I've known Fred for a very long time. He raced with my brother way back, and I think my brother actually rode one of his motorcycles, like the first real, like, sport bike he rode down the racetrack. So Fred and I go way back, and you know, it's great that he brought Danny into the sport, and along with Miramonte Records, you know, having the Miramonte Pro Bike Battle back in the mix. You know, it's extra exposure for the class. We got more incentive to go out there and qualify consistent, run up front, and try and get that extra $1,000 every weekend. So it's great to have that back. You know, it's nice to have the bonus event where you don't have points and you can go out there and race your friends.
Absolutely. What about the Buells, though? And this was the lead-in to my question is, are they Hector Jr. laying down some huge numbers at the tail end of the year, low ET of the meet, and top speed 198.17? There were some times over the course of the year, and I heard some rumblings, that once again they maybe feel like they've fallen behind or need some aero changes or whatever, you know, technical modifications. What is your thought on parity in the sport? Do you feel that parity is where it needs to be to keep everyone interested, or do you think there are some changes that they may get or need to be on the level that you and the Suzukis are, or give me your general thoughts on that, because you've been on both sides of the deal. You've had rules come down to affect you negatively, weight tagged right on your bike and go out and run well in an event, rules changes, redesigning new engines, that kind of stuff. What about those guys? Is parity where it needs to be, in your opinion?
Parity is really close right now. You see that across all three manufacturers that are out there right now, with the S&S bikes, our Harleys, and the Suzukis. Running fairly consistent. You know, Junior went out and qualified number one, won the race, low ET, top speed. That's a pretty darn good weekend for their S&S V-twins. So they have the power, obviously, because they're dragging their bike down the racetrack and putting up good speed. We've been running right there with them. Our speeds weren't up the last couple races for some reason. We're not quite sure why. We could run with everybody at the eighth mile, and then Junior would just motor away from us the last 600 feet. So Suzuki's, when they 60-foot good, they seem to run good all the way down the racetrack. When they don't 60-foot good, they're kind of mid-pack bikes. Jerry's been pretty darn consistent at getting a 60-foot clock, and that's been his big thing for putting up big ETs. As far as changes, I know there's a possibility of a new V-twin manufacturer coming into the sport with a new carbon fiber body, possibility of another manufacturer with a different type of body. So we're just going to have to see what those things lay out and what they do. Nobody's going to know until you compare apples to apples and run them down the racetrack on the same day. So our Harleys are going to be Harley. We'll see what we got for next year. And, you know, by no means are we just going to rest on our laurels and hang out and have fun all winter long. And we're going to go out there, and we already got parts on order and things we need to do to get in place for R&D in the next 6 weeks or so. And we're going to go out there and hit it hard.
But only after you return. Tell us about the trip. You guys have been going on this thing for several years, but this year's a little different. Explain how.
Yeah, with Summit Racing sponsoring our Operation Appreciation, luckily Eddie and I have been invited back for the third year now to go hang out with the troops at some military bases overseas, and it's a good time. We get to go hang out with Jason Line and Greg Anderson of Summit Racing and the Pro Stock Cars, and Dan Runty, who drives one of the Bigfoot Summit monster trucks. So we're going over this year to, I don't know if you call it a little more sensitive area, but we're going back to Bahrain, which is where we ended our trip last year. Going to go hit a few more bases and maybe even a ship at sea. Then from there, we're going to go to Ethiopia and then on to Djibouti. So we all had to get our vaccinations, and our arms are all sore for the Las Vegas event because you have to get them, you know, 5-6 weeks ahead of time. You know, 4 or 5 shots in one arm and 1 shot in the other arm, and pills we got to bring with us and everything. So, but it's all in honor of our military troops over there supporting, you know, our freedom and making sure we can go out there and race for the Mel Yellow points every year. You know, it's an honor to be doing what we do to go racing, but it's a bigger honor to go over there and support our troops and bring a little bit of home back to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, spread the word of NHRA drag racing. I think that's an added benefit. Obviously, those guys, they're there, they're doing a job, but to have one day where you guys show up and talk a little racing, it's got to be great.
It is, and there's a ton of followers of NHRA over there. You know, a lot of the military guys back home, they got a car or a bike or something that they take to the track, and they can relate to us. So it's nice to see that they follow the points and see how the championship wound up and how the top 10 points wound up. So it's great to go over there and talk. And, you know, we sign autographs, and, you know, we have an assembly line going, but we make sure to take our little bit of time and talk to each and every one of them that goes through the line just to make it that much more special and really see where they're from. You know, we get a lot of people from each part of the country that, you know, whether it's, you know, military base in southern Indiana or something near Charlotte, they can relate to where we're from in the United States, and I think it brings that warm, heartfelt feeling when you can talk to them and you're from the same area.
When do you head over there?
We are leaving Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Wow. Okay, so you'll be here
this coming weekend.
You'll be here for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
What are your Thanksgiving plans?
Parents' house. Just our typical deal as always. We all do a pitch in and bring whatever we can over there and hang out at my mom and dad's and have a good time, watch movies, eat pies, you know, load up on everything I can eat throughout the year.
there you go. Well, Andrew, thank you very much for coming on WFO Radio and basically tying the season together with a championship and coming on every time. Jerry Savoie called it the Andrew Hines, Eddie Krawick segment because you're on very often. But as I said, we always learn a little something behind the scenes, maybe even a little something extra that we did not know from the smack talk side of things as well, especially when Eddie's on. And I greatly appreciate it. Congratulations on your championship. Very cool.
Thank you, Joe. Always glad to be back on WFO Radio, especially this big one after a championship. It's always nice to talk to you a little longer.
Hold the trophy up. All right.
phone cord's not long enough for that one.
There you go. And it's radio after all. You could have just said, I am.
Okay.
All right, Andrew, you've won the championship. You've got the big check and the trophy and all of that. But I've got something else for you, something unique to WFO. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
One of our great sponsors, Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, been on with us for most of the year. Big drag racing fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas. He does his own coffees, barbecue spice rubs, hot sauces, that kind of stuff. Our listeners have been ordering over the course of the year. Top 5% of coffee in the world. Are you a coffee drinker, or do you have coffee drinkers in your house?
I have a ton of coffee drinkers around me.
Marvin Rodak has sponsored for each of the Mellow Yellow champions who come on WFO a WFO holiday pack that includes a bag of the WFO Radio special custom blend of coffee he made for our audience, a bottle of hot sauce, and a bottle of spice rub that he has won awards in Texas. He is sponsoring that for you as champion for the holidays. What do you think of that?
That's awesome. I love that stuff. I'm always looking for something to do for, spice rubs for steaks or anything like that. My mom's a huge coffee drinker, so she'll get a kick out of that. And that's awesome. That's cool. I didn't know that was, didn't even expect that. So thank you to those guys. That's really cool.
It is cool. It's so funny how he and I got together. I started talking about bacon. Next thing you know, I'm getting bacon recipes. Next thing I realize is like, wow, this guy really knows his stuff about barbecue and coffee. And we worked out the deal, and it is great. So at the conclusion of the interview, if you just provide me with a address, we'll get it over to Marvin, and it will show up in the mail. And I think you will really enjoy it. Congratulations from Rodax Coffee and Grills.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Marvin. That's awesome.
There you go. Andrew, be safe. Travel safe. You're doing great work over there, but obviously, head on a swivel.
Yep, I will. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Joe. Happy Thanksgiving.
Andrew Hines with us here on WFO Radio. We're going to have to get him back after his trip to Africa with Alan Reinhart and the rest of the guys, Jason Lyon, Greg Anderson, Eddie Krawick. Going to be very, very interesting to hear the debrief on that conversation, which is why you have to log on to WFO Radio each week. Have you tried out the Ignition Show? The Ignition Show is where it all goes down. Nitro is very buttoned down, interview show, debriefing NHRA stars, Mellow Yellow, Lucas Oil series. They're the stars of the show. I am just facilitating these in-depth interviews for you, the fans of NHRA, to hear what these guys and girls are all about. That is the purpose of the NHRA Nitro Show, to get the expertise and genius of Alan Reinhart out there on the air so that the casual fan becomes a diehard fan. So that the diehard fans become even more knowledgeable as to what is true and what is false out there in the world of drag racing. To have a collective group of like-minded people coming together every week. That is the purpose of the NHRA Nitro Show. Plus, it helps me do research for when I'm track announcing on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series tour. And I kind of weave it all together. But the Ignition Show, it's totally different. It is about, me and my cast of characters and how we like to follow NASCAR and Formula One. We have a fantasy league, Youper One, our fantasy league champion, his name going on the trophy made by Tom Patsis of coldhardart.com specifically for us. We have fun. We attack each other. We belittle each other. It's a lot like the radio and sports talk radio you might be hearing out there. Wrapped in motorsports, of course, but we have a good time. And during the off season, who knows what we'll end up talking about? Last year, we ended up on a week-by-week drone technology conversation. Who fears Skynet actually happening? Are these machines going to create some sort of level of consciousness for themselves and then, of course, go after us at some point? That's where the conversation went, because motorsports involves technology, and technology is really what drives the whole sport, and technology, it's getting a little out of control, isn't it? When the drones are flying over your house? Maybe, maybe not, but just an example of the stuff we talk about on the Ignition Show. If you're looking for another 2 hours of entertainment during your work week, while you're driving a truck, a delivery over the road, you're in a cubicle, who knows what you're doing? You're waiting in the doctor's office? Be sure to download the WFO Radio app, or you can listen on Stitcher, or tune in, or there's a million of those services out there. Your podcast catcher on your iPhone. I've got the iPhone 6 now. I'm up to speed. I feel even a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of technology than a lot of people. It's a great way to listen to the show. But you can listen on Stitcher, you can listen on times 2 speed, so a 2-hour show will be over in 1 hour. It's just that it sounds like I'm talking real much faster. So it all depends on you. But check out the Ignition Show, and we're going to go right through the off-season. We're going to go right up to the Christmas holiday. We're going to get close. We're going to bring the pain. It's going to be great. Hope you enjoy it. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Robert Height. He's the president of John Force Racing. There's a lot to talk about right there. What's Robert bringing to the table this week? Well, first, we're going to ask him about the 2014 season at JFR, and I'm going to try to find out who the manufacturer will be for John Force Racing in 2015. You know that's all going down right now. I don't expect him to break the news on this show, right now, but I know that they've got to be getting close. Going to ask him about Courtney and Brittany's growth as drivers. Going to ask him about John. There's a lot going on at John Force Racing getting ready for 2015. You're not going to want to miss it, so stick around. Then at the tail end of the show, Rob Goodman, the director of media relations for Alanabi Racing, used to work at RJ Reynolds with Danny Darnell. Going to find out about the man that has received such an outpouring of great respect from his peers and racing community, Danny Darnell, after passing away earlier this week. So stick around. We will be back with Robert Height right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Red Line has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Red Line motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeandGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
The question is, what are we going to do during this offseason, or so-called offseason, NHRA fans? Listen, there's plenty of news, and we're going to bring it to you on WFO Radio. There's still some stories actually floating out there in the breeze that we've got to tie up and we've got to catch up with, and we're going to do it on the show every week. So please subscribe, download the app, and be ready for all kinds of fun stories during the holiday season. Of course, Thanksgiving coming up this weekend, and I wish you a great time with your families, whatever you choose to do. But we've got to recap and kind of dig down and find out some stories that concluded in 2014. Joining us now, he's the president of John Force Racing. Robert Height is with us to debrief on John Force Racing. Robert, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Joe. How you doing?
I am well. How about yourself?
Doing well, doing well. It's you know, it's supposed to be the off season, but over here at John Force Racing, we've got a lot cooking. We've got a lot to put together, and we've got a lot of things that we want to announce here in the, hopefully the next month. But it's always a challenge to get everything done, and you know, all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, and that's what we're working on over here.
And so you will be announcing your new manufacturer today on the show, right?
No.
I wish I could,
Joe. Really wish I could, but nope. But things are happening there. It's on that front. It's coming together. So, you know, our goal is PRI, but no guarantees, but that's the goal.
Well, that would be great. That's good news. Of course, PRI coming up mid-December. I'm still working on be there or not be there, depending on things around here. Obviously, I'm partly serious because when that news comes out, it's going to be big, big news. Two, it would be great for my numbers, but obviously it's got to be a tremendous announcement. But, you know, me leaning on you isn't going to change anything. But I do think I have some leads as to the direction it's going from people I've been talking to you.
Okay, well, man, I've been hearing lots of things out there, and I don't believe anything that I'm hearing.
Rolls Royce.
Yeah, right. I wish. Yeah. We'd be looking good in Rolls Royce funny cars.
That would be definitely interesting. I think it would be pushing a lot of air. But bottom line, when it happens, we want to have you on, and we're all rooting for something new, fresh, and exciting whenever it does come down.
That's the goal.
All right, let's go back to 2014 now. Your boss, your father-in-law, your co-driver, John Force, going right down to the wire, to the semifinals of the final race, coming off a championship season, but doesn't win. How did you guys view the season? When you look back at this season, is this a success or is it a failure?
Well, first off, I want to congratulate the champions, Matt Hagen, Tony Schumacher, Erica Enders, and Andrew Hines. They did a great job. They deserve the championship. So good job to them. But, you know, it all started, 2015 started for us the day after the banquet. And I believe we had a good season. You know, our funny cars won half the races. That's pretty awesome. My Auto Club Ford won 5 races, which was the most in the funny car class. John finished number 2. You know, we lost Jimmy Prock. John made it to the finals of the last 2 races, so I was really proud of that team and John Medlin and those guys, Mike Neff, for really stepping up. And, you know, we gave it a good fight. Matt Hagen just was awesome in the countdown. It's kind of like I did in 2009. He started low and just got his act together, won a lot of races, won a lot of rounds. And, you know, my Auto Club Ford, we lost first round in the countdown twice. And you just can't do that. It's all about timing. You've got to go to the semis every week if you even want to have a shot. And more than likely, you're going to have to win some races. So I think all in all, we had a good year. We didn't get the championship. But, you know, given what we've been faced with the sponsors leaving and all the distractions this year, I'm giving us, you know, a good grade for that. And we're just hoping that next year we can have less distractions, we can get everything set where it needs to be, and really focus on racing. That's our goal.
I agree. I'm happy to hear you say that. One thing that it's maybe, I don't want to say annoying, but it definitely tweaks my ear, and perhaps it comes with being greatly successful. But doing all that you just described, to come in second just a couple of points shy of a real great competitor, wouldn't have been a failure. And I'm glad you didn't say that. Some would. And, you know, me as a New York Yankee fan, I know you went to the stadium a couple of years ago. That's always the attitude as the Yankee fans. You know, it's win the World Series or the season is a failure. And I just don't think that's statistically possible in the universe.
And me neither. Especially with the competition level in the funny car class, even Top Fuel. I mean, it's not easy to win a race, okay? Much less try to win a championship every year. So, you know, you've got to be realistic about your goals. You know, we all want to go out and win every race. We want to win the championship, but those are not realistic goals. We did well as a team, and we didn't get it done. Hagen did a better job. So it gives us something to shoot for next year. And there's no guarantees we'll win a single race next year. So we've got to enjoy what we had this year. But, man, it's not going to get any easier. We're going to have to work hard. And we're up for the task.
You guys ran each other a lot in the countdown.
Yeah, I ran up against Courtney a couple times. And I ran up against John once, I think. Yeah, at Vegas. Yeah, John beat me in Vegas.
So it's just tough. Sometimes the way qualifying goes and the luck of the ladder gives different paths to different people. And, you know, you just can't. When you think about the Charlotte and Dallas races at the Texas Motorplex and John lighting the red light and just those moments, that's what the countdown produces, where you can go back and kind of analyze different things that happened that ultimately affected the result. It's easier than over the course of an entire season.
Oh, without a doubt. You can definitely pinpoint little rounds and well, they're all big rounds, actually, I should say. Those that, you know, if they'd have gone your way, the outcome would have been different. You know, look at Charlotte, first round. Here I'm racing Chad Head, right? And there are no easy ones. That round right there proves it. That car is tough, and he beat me on a hole shot, and I didn't even have a bad light. So he went out and had a 50 light, and we were going home early. So actually it wasn't Charlotte. It was St. Louis. But anyway, that's the kind of what you look back at and you say, man, this season could have been different if I had that round win. They're all big, and that's what I mean about the competition level. There are no easy races, and you better have your game face on and bring your best car to the line, and your driver better be on every round in the countdown.
What was it like going through the Jimmy Prok situation as an outsider, watching and hearing on the press conference with John when he announced it and got the news out there, having heard and seen firsthand over the course of the season how well that team was working together and how great they were running? Was there a feeling of being under siege in that who's leaving, how many guys are going, who are they unhappy, what's the story, why is this happening? I can imagine a lot of turmoil coming out of that. I know Jimmy has already said he kind of wanted to stay till the end of the year. We've also discussed on the show the multiple reasons why you wouldn't want someone sticking around your secret technology, future planning when they plan to go somewhere else and all that. Plus, there was a great long-term personal relationship. That's got to be a very strange situation to navigate.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, Joe, I probably took it harder than anybody because, Jimmy Prok has got me where I am today. You know, most of those wins that I have came under Jimmy Prok and that whole team that's under him. That team stuck together for a lot of years, hardly any turnover. And, you know, last year, John, in 13, switched us up and put me over with Neff. And, you know, I owe a lot to Jimmy Prok, For 9 years, man, this guy's my best buddy. And, you know, my wife even gets mad when, he and I are talking on Christmas and Thanksgiving about race cars and racing. And it was tough for me. But, I understand, you got to understand business and you got to understand what Jimmy did, why he did. And you also have to understand why John did what he did. And, you just hope for the best for everybody.
Are you able to, is that something that will linger, your relationship with Jimmy, or is it kind of one of those deals where, who knows, he might end up back at JFR in 2 years? It seems like there's not that many really, really high-level talented people, guys like Jimmy Prok, and they seem to move around a fair amount. Are you guys, are fences mended?
Yeah, Jimmy and I have never had any problems, and, we've been so busy with racing and everything that's going on, sponsors and the SEMA show and everything. One of these days I'm going to pick the phone up and give Jimmy a call and, talk old times.
Very, very cool. And it's just the dynamic out there with the talented people is very interesting. But it also showed how John Force Racing was able to navigate crisis. But also, this whole season, you said the word, distractions. There were so many, top to bottom, from the word go. knowing it was the final year of Kastrel, of Ford, all the questions that had to be very challenging and maybe, not fun. Something that is normally fun, racing, might not have been fun. Was this a fun season for you?
Once Friday morning came around and qualifying started, I would say yes, it's fun. Leading up to that, probably not so much fun. It's a lot of things that I wouldn't wish on anybody. You know, it's not much fun having to sell yourself every week, week in, week out, and try to get sponsorships. And, it all hit us at once. That was a major hit to our budget, having two of them fall out at once. So we were able to focus once racing started, but, you know how John is. John's amazing to me. You know, I can't do what he does. He can be in his trailer and be in a meeting and go throw his fire suit on, and 2 minutes later he's in his race car getting ready to do a burnout. I can't focus like that. I've got to start focusing in the staging lanes or go up there and watch cars run, see what's going on the racetrack, talk with my crew chiefs, talk with Lanny McGleazy. That's how I get myself into it. But John can just go right out of a meeting and jump in that car. So I guess maybe after I've done it 30 years or better, maybe I'll be able to do that as well.
John Medlin, Mike Neff. Obviously, they were able to alter their routine to include John's car. Obviously, John Medlin stepped right up, and without really any problems, with exception of the oil incident in Pomona, which I've heard that happen on many, many teams over the years. Sometimes things just happen that way. But how strong is the relationship there, you and Mike and John, and is the full team in place for 2015, or are you guys going to try to bring in some new talent?
Well, obviously, John went to the final, the last two races with this group together and everybody rallying, and so I would say you got to give him an A+ for that. That's one thing we've always had over here, is good camaraderie and everybody be able to work together and check their egos at the door, and we're all friends here. So it's we're all pulling in the same direction. A lot of it is how John structures the bonus. Everybody gets paid when I get the same amount of bonus if Courtney wins or Brittany wins as if I win. So it's, you want to help each other. And, as far as I know, the group we've got is staying together. We're looking at, all of our options right now. But, one thing John's done real well at is to promote within. And we have some young guys here that, we think maybe are ready to step up and take the reins, especially with guys like John Medlin and Mike Neff being there to help them. And, nothing's set in stone, but that's kind of what we're looking at right now.
Obviously, they call it the off-season, but it is not really an off-season just yet. You mentioned at the start some sponsorship announcements, some things coming up. You'd like to do it at PRI. The manufacturer's the one everybody wants to know, because if you can bring a new or not currently running manufacturer to the series at the end of it all, I think the whole experience will have been for the positive, that we've got this new whoever it is doing something in the sport of drag racing. That will be positive and, of course, extremely beneficial for them. But at the same time, there's not a lot of time to do this, and bodies don't get made immediately. I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it. How big a time crunch situation are you guys in?
It's major. We've got a lot to do. In years past, you go to Pomona and you might not change your awning, or you might not change your handout cards. This year we've got to, because every one of our handout cards have Kastrel and Ford on them. They have pictures of last year's car. Everything has to roll into Pomona, 100% new. And that's a lot of work to do. But our goal from day one, when we heard about Ford and Kastrel, is to go and bring some new blood to the sport. And that's what I'm most excited about, because if some of these deals that we're working on that are quite a ways along, if they actually come to life and we get them sealed and ready, the fans are going to be excited, and it's going to make NHRA look strong, because we're bringing some new blood into the sport. And that's really what it's all about. We want to show the strength of NHRA and show that we still have something here to sell.
There is a tremendous benefit to being involved with NHRA drag racing, and I really think it is going to grow and continue growing. All the economic numbers have been trending in the right direction for the past couple of years and months, and the further along we go, the better they seem to be getting. I do not understand how a company could not find great value of being associated with such a legendary team. All right, now, the sponsorship hat off. Let's talk driving. Courtney Force. Evaluate now as she continues to develop. I am blown away by what I am seeing. Such a young driver, still at the beginning of the learning curve, the rapid progression of Courtney. What are you thinking about after this year where she finished ahead of you in the points?
Yes, she did. Did a great job. You know, if you look at, I don't want to separate men from women really, but before this year, no girl had ever won. Four races was the number in Funny Car, and that helped belong to Ashley. Well, Courtney won four races just this year. So she won more races than her dad did. You know, what's that tell you? She did a great job, and she's got a great car. The Traxxas deal is still strong. We've got, a few years left with that. So I have to give that team an A+. They did a great job, and right up to Vegas, they were contending for the championship.
That is a fact. And what about Brittany? Even more at the beginning of her learning curve, that team seemed poised for a win throughout the season, then kind of ended off a bit on a negative, obviously, but Redding and many final rounds. How do you view or evaluate that team, their progress, and Brittany as a driver?
I think she did a great job, and she didn't win a race this year because of her driving. That was not the case at all. If the car and everything would have worked right, she'd have won races. She did a good job driving, and I've always said this. I always thought Brittany was going to be the best driver of all the three girls. Just having watched her in A-Fuel and Super Comp, she's more analytical. She does a great job. And if you look at the turnaround we had from 13 to 14, yeah, we still haven't got a win, but we got to the final and got some runner-ups and made the top 10. It's definitely a step in the right direction. And if we make that same step next year, look for that car to win three or four races and contend for a championship.
So what now, Robert? Thanksgiving right around the corner. I know you've got all of this work and a lot of things churning behind the scenes, but you also have to take some time for yourself and your family. What do you guys got planned?
Well, I'm gonna take some time off here at Thanksgiving, and then we're gonna head back to Indy. There's a lot to do back there. Probably be back there for 2 weeks through the PRI show, and then it's Christmas time, and gonna take a little vacation to Hawaii after Christmas, right up to the New Year, and back in Indy January 1st, getting ready to start over. And we don't know our testing plans 100%. I don't think we're going to go to Florida this year. I think we, as a team, are going to come out west on the way to Pomona and either go to Vegas or Phoenix. But all that stuff's up in the air right now. The main goal is to sign some of these deals and get them on paper, get them out to the public, and start painting cars.
Very, very cool. I'm hoping you do come to West Palm, but after the season the Coletta's had, after not going to West Palm, I can understand it. But, we love our drag racing down here, and that's as close as you guys get to our local community, and we certainly love it. But I would understand otherwise. So one final just question on the manufacturer, just because this is what everybody wants to know, and I know you can't tell me. I mean, I know that, but do you not have any idea at all? It's like totally up in the air. Like it could be one of three, or we could be running Fords. We have no idea. Or you're working in the direction to solidify an agreement.
We're working in the direction to solidify agreement with another company. And that's all I can say. These things take time. They don't happen overnight. And, we're hoping that whoever we end up with, we're going to have a run like we did with Ford. That was 17 years, 17 great years. And we also hope that whoever we sign up with is going to give us the same support Ford did. And that was a lot of technical support, safety support, and obviously financial. So that's our goals right now, and we're going to keep working at it, and hopefully PRI, we can announce this.
Robert, thank you very much to submitting to my pressure. I appreciate that. You know, people want me to ask these questions, and this is a big story, and I know you know that. Listen, it was great this whole year interacting with you, either on the finish line or in the pits, wherever it happened to be. I really appreciate you certainly make it easy, and you bring a lot to the table in terms of emotion when you get out of the car. I really like that, and of course, your appearances here on WFO, letting us behind the scenes. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and of course, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family.
Okay, well, thanks to everybody, and thanks to the fans for a great season. Man, it was awesome to finish up at Vegas and Pomona with packed crowds. And, Joe, I hope I'm on here a lot next year with you.
You know you control that, which is the best part about it. I hope so, too.
Exactly. We're going to.
Thanks, Robert. Greatly appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Joe. Thanks.
Robert Height with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Sounds like a lot going on over there at John Force Racing, and I can imagine that they are in a big get-ready phase dealing with the crisis, the whole Jimmy Prock story, just a million different angles and elements to the deal. Thanks to Robert and John Force Racing for coming on the show, and we just got to sit back and wait. PRI, eh? I've seen some hints out there. Just different stuff. I don't think it's going to be Audi or Rolls-Royce. I think me and Alan got it wrong. But if it's a new manufacturer, I think that is a great thing. Somebody new who's not involved currently in drag racing at that level, I think that would be good. I also think, just from a strategy perspective, I don't know how long John is going to race. John says it's just the beginning, but what, 10 more years? You know, the Greek is out there doing it. 10 more years? 5 years? 5 years feels right. This is pure speculation by me. Let's call it the tail end of the career, the end, the exclamation point, the final ride, the last ride of Wyatt Earp and his men, whatever. Which manufacturer is going to get to say that they were the machine that John Force drove during that period of his career? Who's it going to be? From a strategy perspective, I have no idea, and nor do I want to know this side of the sport. I think that if it's necessary, we talk about it. But I have found that regular sports talk has become less and less about the games and more about the general manager position, like what's this guy spending, what are they getting for what they're spending, how much room under the cap, all that stuff, which kind of bores me. I'm not that into it. I think it's kind of taken a lot of the excitement away when average fans are talking about contracts and all of that. But I will say that for Ford to get out right at the tail end of John's career, there is a chance that he may go into the Drag Racing Hall of Fame in everyone's minds driving another brand. What's that brand going to be? Who's going to take advantage of the opportunity? Who's going to get to say, we were the final car that John Force drove? I think there's value in that. I think there's never-ending value. Now, if John was here, he might say, hey, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. But I'm just thinking about nature. I'm thinking about, obviously, Chris Caramassini's is an anomaly. And I did put a 5-year window on that, so that's a good amount of time, 5 years. I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. I have no idea. But I think there is value, and I'm very eager to see. Not to mention Courtney, Robert. But really, Courtney Force is tremendous star power. So who's going to take advantage of that? That is the question. I wonder who it's going to be. We shall see. So thanks to Robert for coming on the show and, you know, standing up to my questioning. I know everybody wants to know that. Everybody wants to know what is the story. Because the health of John Force Racing is actually a health of drag racing litmus test. So it'll be very interesting to see. Thanks to Robert for coming on WFO Radio. I want to remind everybody, WFO T-shirts now on sale. That is the number one thing going. Go to the WFO store, check it out. The T-shirts, getting photographs from WFO listeners all around the world. They are rocking their T-shirts and absolutely loving them. And supplies are getting limited, guys. I got to tell you, if you're like waiting for the last second where who knows what you're thinking, but I would make a move now. Supplies are limited. WFO Radio t-shirts. They're great quality shirts. They're the Gildan t-shirts with our WFO Radio artwork. You will love them. $20 in the WFO store. Not to mention the Christmas ornament bottle opener keychain made of billet aluminum. It is a very cool little piece. I'll call it a work of art. Great for your desk or your... I use it for our... what is it? Post office box, where all the WFO Radio sticker requests are coming from. P.O. Box 848353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084, care of Costello Media, WFO Radio stickers. I pick up my WFO Radio keychain. I walk down there. I open the box. I look in. It's empty. I close it. It's great stuff. If you want some stickers, send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. Big thanks to Robert Height for coming on the show. Coming up next, Rob Goodman from Allanabe Racing, going to talk about the life of Denny Darnell. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. The holidays are coming. The winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
WFO Radio. NHRA Nitro. Nitro. WFO Radio. Now, back to WFO Radio.
Final segment on this week's NHRA Nitro, and it has been a great show to this point. Erica Ender-Stevens, and of course, Andrew Hines, Robert Height. We have done a lot of good things on this program, and don't forget, we'll be back next week. Subscribe, download the app, It's going to be great. But I referenced at the start of the show, Alan Reinhart and I talked about the passing of Denny Darnell, and I mentioned that our next guest would be joining us. He is the Director of Media Relations for Allanabi Racing and worked directly with Denny Darnell, known as the General, who passed away this week. Rob Goodman is with us. Rob, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Doing well, Joe. Thanks, thanks for the kind words, and thanks for having me on.
Rob is one of the best in the biz, by the way, folks. And Rob, I wanted to have you on because I know that you worked directly with Denny for many years. And I explained to Alan, I'll explain to you, as I was coming up in broadcasting, there was a moment where I had to just open a media guide and start calling PR representative names cold. And not all of them were quick to respond or easy to work with when they did respond, but Denny Darnell was. Little did I know, he put me on the right track in many areas and got me interviews and took care of me down here in Miami as we were trying to raise the awareness of a sport like NASCAR and motorsports in general. And when he passes away, I never met him face-to-face, or if I did, it was just in passing. This guy was doing that for everyone in an industry, and I wanted to talk about him on the show. Thank you so much for doing that.
Well, I'm happy to do it, and as I said when we spoke a little while ago, I'm happy to talk about Denny as long as anybody would want to listen. I mean, this guy was a true giant in the motorsports world. We as people who are involved in the sport and fans of the sports of motorsports alike, we all tend to think about the drivers and the teams and the car owners and the crew chiefs, and that's what I'm a former media person, so that's what media people, you know, we gravitate to those type people, and in turn so do the fans. But there's so many other areas of motorsports that are very important, and among them is media relations. And Denny exemplified what it is to be a media relations professional, because the art of cultivating and nurturing relationships with members of the media was an area in which he excelled. I mean, this is a guy who wrote for the Kingsport Times News in Tennessee, his hometown. He ran the media department at Bristol Motor Speedway. He ran the communications department at the National Hot Rod Association, and everybody listening to this show has had direct contact with that sanctioning body for many years probably. And then he left NHRA and he went to run the media relations department at RJ Reynolds Tobacco in the Sports Marketing Enterprises department, where he was for the last 5 years of his full-time employee career. Then he left RJ Reynolds at the same time I did and started his own business called Darnell Communications, and worked with Dodge Motorsports and Nextel, which of course is now Sprint, and many other clients before he retired at the end of last season. So this is a guy who spent decades working with the motor media, and he was the consummate professional in everything he did, and every person with whom he dealt, every entity with whom he dealt with everybody with respect, and in turn, that's why he's getting the tremendous respect now in his unfortunate and shocking passing last Saturday.
Yeah, before his time, I believe 70 years old, which maybe once upon a time that was a lot of years, but not anymore. I think we're hoping to live much longer than that, most of us.
Most of us. Denny had some health problems in the last few years, but he was doing really well, and whatever happened Saturday afternoon, and I don't know exactly what caused his death, but the family chose not to do an autopsy, and so you respect that and you move on. But Denny loved what he did, and if there's anybody in my career that I can call a mentor, it was Denny. I spent 10 years at RJ Reynolds in sports marketing, the last 10 years of Sports Marketing Enterprises, and my first 5 years, Denny was running the communications department at NHRA, and I was doing a lot with NHRA with what was then the Winston Drag Racing Series, and the Team Winston racing team, which was Alan Johnson's Top Fuel dragster, driven by Gary Selzy, and then of course we had a funny car, the late Gordy Bonin drove that for a while, and so then when my manager at RJ Reynolds, Chris Powell, left and went to be the president of Las Vegas Motor Speedway, Denny moved over from NHRA and ran our department, so I got to really work with him on a daily basis, and to say I learned a lot would be a tremendous understatement.
Can you share any of those lessons? I often like when we speak with people who are very successful, I like to try to get some of the advice that they may have available for the audience. Maybe they're not going into PR directly, but it seems to me, Rob, that the lessons that make people successful seem to work regardless of what field they're in. What did you learn from Denny?
Well, that's a great point, Joe, because you know the thing I mentioned a minute ago about Denny being a consummate professional in everything he did is very accurate. But Denny also wanted us to be completely professional in every way that everything we did to run our department. And at that time, it was primarily working with NASCAR. In the end, the final years of the Winston Cup Series before it went over to Nextel and then to Sprint. But I also worked in professional golf when I was at RJ Reynolds. Denny wanted us to make sure that we paid attention to every detail. We treated everybody with respect. And I mean, and really, can you just take those two things and say, okay, those are two pretty good life lessons right there. And they're basic, but man, are they important. And now in an age in which we are all so electronically oriented, the art of personal one-on-one communication is dying. You know, we all text, we leave voicemails occasionally, but mostly we text and we email or maybe we tweet directly. And so it's a different world now, but there's always going to be a place for personal contact. And Denny taught us how to do that properly. I'm guilty of it. I mean, I don't call Joe Costello enough just to say, hey, Joe, what's going on? How are you? We talk when we run into each other at the racetrack, when we set up an interview and we do an interview. But how many times do we just, you know, get on the phone to say hello? Rarely. And that's something that we all need to do. And Denny reminded us of that. Don't let the electronic age rob you of the ability to communicate one-on-one with people.
Totally agree that you don't call enough.
Well, you don't either. Phone works both ways.
No, but you have, though. Let me tell you, that's most important, that it has happened in the past. I want everybody to know Rob is doing his job. It's amazing, like drivers, personalities, NASCAR, NHRA. Denny was able to walk in multiple worlds, and from what I understand, this RJ Reynolds media department was one of the best that has ever been. Hearing the names of the people who were involved, I hear a lot of track presidents in NASCAR and at ISC, people who were in it at RJ Reynolds. They definitely were cultivating a culture of success over there.
No question about it. And the gentleman who really was in charge of RJ Reynolds sports marketing for the majority of its years was T. Wayne Robertson, and I'm sure that you've heard that name. And,
yes.
And T. Wayne was passionate about everything he did. I got to work with him for a few years before he was killed in a boating accident. But you know, Wayne, if Denny was, you know, the general, as we called him, if he was the general of communication and of relationships, T. Wayne was the president or the admiral or the four-star general. I mean, Wayne. It's almost as if Wayne knew people so well, and he knew where to put them and with whom to place them within the organization. And he knew that Denny would fit right in. You look at Grant Lynch with ISC and Chris Powell out at Las Vegas and the late Jeff Bird, who was at Bristol. All these guys are alumni of Sports Marketing Enterprises, and it's amazing that you point that out. It's amazing the places people went from after working there. I mean, Ty Norris, I actually took Ty Norris's job when I started it in sports marketing, and Ty went on to work with, I believe he went to work with Dale Earnhardt, and then went to Michael Walter Bracing, where he is now. So there are people who are alumni of sports marketing that are sprinkled throughout the motorsports world. A guy named Chad Willis is who a gentleman I worked with Denny. He was the other guy that reported to Denny, and he has worked with Sprint for the last 10 years or 11 years. Karen Davis, I worked with Karen Davis at Sports Marketing. She now works for NASCAR. She's one of the first people I'll see when I get to the funeral here in a couple hours. And it is amazing how the alumni of that organization are sprinkled throughout, and that's the people, the quality of the people, and Wayne knew how to find them. Wayne knew when he ran into somebody, this guy or this girl would be good in our department, and it worked.
And, again, a great tragedy circle of life, and I think we're coming to the age where this is going to happen, and we're going to have to get used to it. Rob, obviously my condolences on your loss, someone who was very heavily involved in making you the person you are. Well, allow me to say you are one of the best people to work with out there, and you do a great job. I'm sorry for your loss, but thank you so much for coming on WFO and giving us a little insight to the life and career of Denny Darnell. Now we know more. It is with great regret that I didn't get to hang out with the man, but unbeknownst to him...
You would have liked it.
I bet I would have, and unbeknownst to him and me at the same time, he was doing his deal with me, helping me along, putting me in the right place just over the phone. So thank you very much for sharing a little bit more about his personality with us.
I'm happy to do it, Joe, and thanks for having me on. Thanks for including Denny in your show, and thanks for what you do for NHRA MLEO drag racing. I mean, it's great, your constant presence, and a weekly presence and throughout the year, and that is tremendous for our sport, and I know that everybody appreciates what you do and the hard work you invest in NHRA MLEO drag racing. So thanks for doing it every week, and to everybody listening, have a great Thanksgiving. Joe, do the same, and we need to be in touch when we don't need to be in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rob. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Take care.
Thanks, Rob. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Greatly appreciate you coming on the show and sharing a little bit about the life of Denny Darnell. Rob has just been so helpful over the years. And what a great show. Great way to cap off our Thanksgiving special. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, all of our listeners. We had Rob, we had Robert Height, we had Andrew Hines and Erica, all on the same show. She was obviously a little under the weather. Greatly appreciate her coming on the show. Now, before we go, before we get out of here, I did get a phone call late in the going. I want to play it for you. It is kind of interesting. It is from Aaron. Aaron wants to talk about the finals. We're going to go in depth now, or we're going to get into it now, but we're going to go more in depth in the coming weeks. And I'm going to have homework for all of you. After this call, here's Aaron calling the wide open line, 954-889-6796.
Hey, Joe. Aaron Hager here from Southeast Missouri. You guys have a great show, and I'm glad to have it to keep me up on drag racing in between events and in between seasons. I do have a concern. I know you're kind of the house radio show, so to speak, but I'm disappointed that you did not at least even comment or bring up the potential or alleged sandbagging by Tommy Johnson Jr. and Ron Capps during the finals. I know that it is arguable, and I'm not a conspiracy theory type of guy, but it is also somewhat right there in plain sight and should have at least been mentioned or acknowledged so there could be some discussion about it. I know that those types of things have happened with other teams in the past, and it is what it is. You're always going to have it in some form or another, but I think also to be transparent, it also needs to be talked about. And I do have to say that as much as I love your show, I am disappointed that it was not brought up at all. So that is my comment, and I would love to hear you and Alan talk about it on a future show. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Thanks for your call. And if you have an opinion, of course, 954-889-6796. Aaron is right. We did not really talk about it on the show. I have some reasons, mostly having to do with the NHRA banquet, chasing down drivers last week, and this week just kind of slipped off my radar. But he is right. So first, I'm going to ask other listeners for your opinion of this. That is number one. And I will give my opinion a little bit now and a little bit in the future based on the feedback. Aaron, great call. I like these moments when I am challenged for this. Subliminally, I probably stay away from it because it's such a dead-end conversation. We don't really know, and we can't prove it. No one's going to own up to it, if it's true. Second of all, I really don't think there are a lot of people out there that would do damage to themselves if they were put in that situation. So it's the kind of thing you can scream integrity, integrity. But if you're put in the situation where you have to end your own chances for something great and extremely financially important, would you do it? I don't think too many people would. But I know it's tough. It's a tough deal to think about, especially if you're a John Force fan. Fans out there probably knew what was going to happen, if you believe that, which it's a 10,000 horsepower race car. I like to think about what Alan would say, and Alan's going to say it's a 10,000 horsepower race car. Sometimes things break. Alexis DeJoria ran John Force in the semifinal and went 6.95. Did she give it to him? Well, no. No way. But she ran 6.95. Why? Because something malfunctioned on the car. Tommy Johnson went 6.18 against Matt Hagen. What happened? Did he give it to him because he knew that this was to lock up the title? Or did something just break? Well, you know the answer to those questions based on who you're asking. And you also know that regardless, someone is going to go against it. The conspiracy theorists are going to believe conspiracies. And the people who don't are not. The DSR fans are going to say no way. Or maybe they'll say, yes, I'm glad they did it. But it's a kind of a dead-end conversation because I can't think of a solution. And there's the deal. But can you think of a solution to this problem? While listening to your phone call, I looked at the ladder and I thought, well, could NHRA abandon the ladder and just seed the racers so that teammates never race each other? And the answer is no. When you get to the semifinal round, you could have, but not in the quarters. Alexis versus Robert, Wilk versus John, TJ versus Dell, and then you got two cars, and they're both DSR cars. So what do you do? How do you solve the problem? And so it's a dead end, because there is no solution. It's the Kobayashi Maru. You can't get out of it. It's the no-win situation. And so did I deliberately avoid this? Nah, not really deliberately. I just feel like we're not going to get anywhere, because number one, no one's admitting that stuff. Number two, even if it did happen, a very strong argument could be made that it's the right thing to do. It gets results. Gets the job done. In what other field or sport or industry is integrity of the moment prioritized over getting the job done and producing results? Not on Wall Street. Not in corporate America. Not in a lot of areas. Certainly not professional sports. You get the job done. No, I'm not going to take that cortisone shot in my back because it's not the right thing to do. I should just sit out the game. No, man, give me the shot. There's thousands of examples that you could think of course. Two cars racing each other in the final. They're owned by the same team. One car's victory will greatly benefit the organization, while the other car winning will not do anything because they win on a regular basis. What do you do? The answer is, I think, fans from the grandstands think integrity. You do the right thing, and then you take those exact same people and you put them in the situation where they have to damage their own interests and they will not do it. I think that's the real answer. They will go against their own integrity to benefit career-wise, sponsorship-wise, financially-wise. And I can think of hundreds of examples that you can just make up, which is what we have to do in this. You have two children, two brothers. They take up the sport of, let's make something up, fencing, you know, sword fighting. And they're both really good at it. But one wants to go to college and has an opportunity at a scholarship, and the other is going to do something else, but he's really good too. And they meet in the final round of the tournament, your two kids. And if one wins, he's going to get a full ride scholarship to Harvard for fencing. And if the other wins, he's going to get the trophy and go off and do something else. What do you do? Do you tell your two sons, boys, your integrity's on the line. Get out there and just play to the end and Lenny, if you lose your scholarship and that's it. We're not going to be able to send you to Harvard. And so your whole future rides on this tournament against your brother. And brother, what should his name be? I don't even know. Johnny, if your brother beats you, he's going to go full ride to Harvard and probably become a lawyer, and the family will be great for the next 100 years. But if you win, it doesn't mean anything to you because you don't care about fencing. You just happen to be really skilled. So go out there and get it done. I don't think that's the smart play at all. I think the smart play is to tell the one brother that doesn't quite mean as much to, hey, man, there's a lot riding on this for this family. You got to do the right thing. Now, are people going to tell me that that's the wrong thing? They might. They might say, Joe, that's the wrong way to be. You should tell those boys to just go out and fight. And if it isn't meant to be, it's not meant to be. Your kid doesn't go to Harvard. He works in a lumberyard. Maybe. But back to the Kobayashi Maru. What did they do? There's a good chance you have no idea what I'm talking about. But the answer is, they did what it took to get results. And so if that is happening, I can't say I'm that against it. It is what it is. And what's the alternative? Those cars don't come to the starting line. They refuse to race. We are not going to put ourselves in a position of doing something phony. So we are just going to leave the car in the pit area. And the driver leaves the track. And the fans watch one car come to the starting line and make a by run and accept his points. Because that's the alternative. Unless we can come up with an answer here on WFO Radio, which maybe one of our listeners has got a concept or an idea to definitively end the conversation about integrity, because you know for certain that when a car loses, it was on merit. That's your holiday homework. Aaron, thank you for the call. I greatly appreciate it. Those are some of my thoughts, but I want some of yours, and maybe we can get you to call back, maybe even live on one of our open phone shows to talk about it, because I just don't see how to get out of the dead end. When you have two teams who have most of the cars, it's going to happen. And you can't expect them to chop off their hand. You just can't. That's what I think. All right, that's going to do it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. What a very positive outlook we have. Way to go off into the holiday. And you know what Friday is, right? Tune into the Ignition Show. We're going to go heavy Black Friday. Man, I was Grouponing. For whatever reason, I discovered Groupon. I know, I'm like 10 years back. But I bought everything for everybody on Groupon. Don't tell them, though. Got the $9.99 piece, the 9-piece, what is it? Rock ice cubes? It's like a piece of rock that places an ice cube. Great stuff. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks to Rodax. Thanks to Redline. Thanks to Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Thanks to Wilson Manifold, everybody who helps us out on the show. Great friends of Comp Plus, of course, Alan Reinhardt coming on, Erica Andrew Stevens, Robert Height, Andrew Hines, Rob Goodman. Greatly appreciate it. We're going to be doing the Ignition Show, so if you're looking for more, we got Ignition coming up. You can listen to last week's show in the archive as well. Thank you very much, everyone behind the scenes, Giovanni, Patrick, everybody who helps out on the Facebook page. Check out our social media. That's going to do it. We'll see you next time. Happy Thanksgiving from WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.